We will call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, May 31st, 2023, to order at 8:45. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Jurgens, Haxby, Schuler, Team, Dorrance, Waverly, and Lytle. We'll begin with the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held May 17th, 2023. Approve all claims through May 31st, 2023 in the amount of $809,555.94. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve utility permit number 1273 to Windstream Nebraska LLC. Windstream will be installing a communications line to a residence at 27413 Rockford Road. Windstream will bore a 2-inch diameter by 60-inch deep line for the new line from pedestal 160YE, located in the east greater ditch of Rockford Road to the west greater ditch, then continue all work on private property located in Section 2, Township 3 North, Range 7 East, Rockford Township. Approve utility permit number 1274 to Windstream Nebraska LLC. Windstream will be installing a communications line to residents at 22796 Southwest 89th Road. Windstream will bore a 2-inch diameter by 60-inch deep line for the new line from pedestal 712HF, located in the west greater ditch. Start boring north 30 feet in the west greater ditch, then bore under Southwest 89th Road to the east greater ditch, then continue all work on private property located east of Section 22 and west of Section 23, Township 4 North, Range 5 East, Lakely Township. Approved bid for Masonry Construction, Inc. to repair the chimney in the amount of $26,313. That would be the one on the north side of the building. Approved canceling check number 2305-0105 to Beatrice Area Solid Waste in the amount of $26,496. Mr. Jurgens.
I would like to amend the consent agenda to include approving chairman to sign G-Works additional simple roads asset management contract. And Eric will explain that a little better.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to amend the consent agenda to include the G-Works simple roads asset management contract. What this is, the Highway Department brought this to us a few weeks ago, and then we talked about it again a couple times after. This will manage all of our bridges, culverts, structures. It'll put it into the G-Works suite that we have already. The initial cost was going to be $8,000 set up. We currently pay $4,500 for the other pieces of this. They were going to increase that to $6,000. So we asked for a 5-year lock on the contract price. They agreed to that. And then instead of $6,000, they gave us a 25% multi-tab discount, which keeps us at $4,500. So there's no ongoing cost increase. And the $8,000 setup, they took down to $7,000. If we sign by the end of the month, which happens to be today. So normally we would put this on just as a regular agenda item. It's something we've talked about. There's money in Mark's budget for it, but in talking to council, just to be very transparent, we probably wouldn't have to put it on the agenda, but this way it's completely in the open and everyone can see what we're doing here. So what we would see is a $6,000 one-time expense for setup of all the structures into G-Works, and then our ongoing costs would be the same. And actually, our ongoing costs would have gone up over time, but now they're locked in for 5 years.
Good.
We have a motion and a second. Motion by Jurgens, second by Haxby, to amend the agenda to add the G-Works contract being signed. Any discussion on this? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. I would ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented with the addition.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle. Second by Swavely. To approve the consent agenda as presented, any other items to pull off or talk about? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda, comments from the public or requests for future agenda items. I'd like to welcome all of you here. If there's anything anyone would like to bring up that's not on the agenda later on, now would be a great time to talk about it.
Eric, I know we've got somebody in the audience that's wanting to talk about hog buildings, and I don't believe I see anything on the agenda. So I think that if they're wanting to do that, now would be the time, right?
Yeah, this would be a good time if anyone does want to make any comment. We don't have the swine facility listed. The reason being, we don't have any action to take on that. The board had decided to wait until the state went through and made any approvals or disapprovals before we did anything. So if anyone would like to talk about
that. Who would that be, Eric?
We don't know. They're doing borings right now, so they're checking for groundwater. We don't know when that...
They've done that already down there.
They don't have their results back then. Or we haven't heard anything yet.
I think they're talking
about... Oh, I'm sorry.
The second one.
I'm sorry. We can't discuss back and forth during public comment either, but can we give any... If they have any information on it, or do we have to wait on that,
too? They can give information. We just can't do an interchange.
I'm sorry. During public comment, we're not allowed to discuss back and forth.
To clarify, I think you were discussing the one north.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And they're talking about the one south.
I'm assuming they're discussing the one south.
Okay,
yeah,
sure. No,
yet.
That makes sense. I'm sorry. I should have thought of that. I have that other building on my mind right now.
Nothing's been applied for on the one side.
At the state.
We can't talk about...
Folks, the law says no.
There's no discussion here, but we'll visit later and maybe ask Lisa as she comes up, too.
Sure.
Sorry about that. Would anyone like to come up and make any statements or ask for any future agenda items? If not, we'll go on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights. Mr. Swavely.
Okay, well, we'll let Dave take care of it this morning. We have
thank you, Counselor.
Discussed in the committee meetings. We got our conceptual designs from our architect, but Dave will go on and talk about some of the other things.
Yes. Thank you for approving the work needed on the chimney. I had showed some pictures to the Building and Grounds Committee. That bid work was not included in the original bid when they were doing the north side, just for the fact that it was all covered in caulking and a very hard, almost a concrete types that they use for a mortar joint. Some of those were as large as your fist that they were pulling out. So there is some serious work needed to be done on that to make it look right again. So and then the other thing we did talk about, like Dave said, was just conceptual ideas on if we were to enclose the ramp on the east side. I think I left packets on the desk, and everyone kind of liked the plan B the best, it looked like. So I think we'll do some further talking about that. And last was the restriping of the parking lot. That will be done sometime in June. Line Pro is going to do that for $1,300. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Mm-hmm. Equalization, we just had an equalization meeting this morning. Obviously, today's the end of the month. Tomorrow's June 1st. Property valuations will be going out tomorrow. If you have a problem with property valuations, please talk to the assessor's office. They will not set the taxes, but they do set the valuation of property. So if there is any question on the valuation applied to a piece of property, please talk to the assessor's office early and try to get that taken care of. The sooner you talk to them, the easier it is to try to work with it, just because there's always a rush at the end and there is an increase in property. The largest valuation increase is on residential. Next largest will be commercial. And then this year, the least increase, which may still be bad depending on the piece of property, will be ag land. So please talk to the assessor's office early and try to take care of any problems. Otherwise, we'll deal with that as it go through the protest period. Finance and insurance. Mr. Juergens.
Sorry, I was right. On a different topic. Big ticket items. City of Wymore, quarterly EMS services, $10,000. Gage County, probation office, janitorial agreement, supplies, office space, rent, $22,996. G-Works, GI website, labor and maintenance, $20,112. Justice, data, solutions, sheriff software, maintenance and support, $34,050. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $40,754.47. RDO Truck Center, 2023 Mack Truck, $211,681.45. Rock On, Hauling Material, $11,962.33. Township Material. Robert Construction LLC replacing roof, siding, gutters on the vet's office, $31,013.
Anything else for finance and insurance? All right. Human resources, employee relations, we don't really have any issues, thank goodness, right now. Law enforcement and emergency management, Mr. Lytle.
Yes, you got anything?
Morning, everyone.
Good morning, guys.
As you know, summer's upon us, so I thought maybe just go back 2 weeks and let you know what's been going on with our office. We had 22 911 hang-ups. We had 11 vehicle accidents, 15 citizens or other agencies. We had 4 domestic disturbances. We had 5 identity thefts. We had 11 motorist assists. We had 2 sex offender registration violations. We had 14 vehicle complaints. 4 adult abuse neglect calls. We had 7 child abuse calls, 17 arrest warrants, 2 vehicle thefts, 17 community policing events, 6 calls, suspicious incidents, and 3 welfare checks. In addition to that, we had forensic training down in Lisa's office, EOC, here with some of our deputies and 4 other agencies. We had off-duty officers or deputies to participate in the Olympic torch run, May 16th, and we continue to follow up on numerous investigations. So summer's cranking up, and we're keeping ourselves busy. So
cars all in duty? Or are we waiting on a couple of them to be outfitted yet?
I just checked a week ago. We're in the line yet, but they got a lot more ahead of us yet, but we're in line. As soon as they get them, they're ready for it. So we just keep getting by. Yep.
Probably a good opportunity for some local shop if they want to get into installing equipment into police vehicles.
They
for
do a good
statewide use.
Obviously demand for it, isn't there?
Yes.
Yeah, there is.
They come from out western Nebraska here even. I mean, that's just a high demand.
Be a good market for someone if they're looking for something to do. I don't think any of the shops are looking for extra work, though.
Not on that stuff. No, probably not. But we'll get there someday. I promise. All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Gus. Lisa, you got anything other than solar today?
I do not.
the item that was brought up in public when we were asking for public comment, is there only the one hog building that has been applied for, or is there a start to a second one?
As far as the zoning application that has come in, I only have one application that has come into planning and zoning. We do know that the state has an application that they have received, but we do not have that at our level yet.
The state has received the one for down by
Liberty. Section 25,
yeah.
I believe.
I thought I'd seen something on it, yeah.
And the water wells have been drilled there, but not any soils testing or...
Yep. Everything that I know about it is what I have learned from landowners and so forth down in the area. So, but.
Have you heard any more information from the owners there, their intentions on that property or any
on
other properties?
On the Liberty property? I have not, other than Carl had let me know that they, after the last meeting that you guys had that I was not at, that they were going to go ahead and submit the construction the application to the state of Nebraska before giving it to us. So he had called me on that Friday to let me know that's what they were going to do. Because of the timing and the process that they needed to start, they were going to get that started. So,
and that one you're talking about?
That is the Liberty.
Liberty project.
Yeah, but again, we don't have an application in planning and zoning. So, you know, the calls that I have gotten into my office, I've only received one so far, and that was from someone that resided in Pawnee County, but however is close proximity to that location and has family members at that within that three-quarters of a mile, somewhere, three-eighths, somewhere in there. So I explained to them the process for zoning where it would be, you know, once we got the application, we would review it with the county attorney, look for what we had. We would, the process would be to go through and notify the landowners, you know, within that 1 mile, you know, and then we would set the hearing. But they have every right to come forward, you know, and express their concerns that they would have. But, again, that process for me is not started because I don't have an application yet. So.
Did Carl indicate when he talked to you that they were going to communicate with the landowners down there or
so
start that process?
He said that they would be starting that process, but I've not been in contact with Carl, who represents Summit, since his call on Friday, or not this past Friday, but whatever Friday it was that you guys had your, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago?
The 26th?
No, it would have been like the
after the meeting,
12th,
so the night,
right? Yeah, somewhere in there.
So, yeah. So the best place for all of us or for the public to get information would probably be through your office. If any neighbors have a question, I mean, you can tell them.
As far as the process is concerned, I don't. From what I reviewed of the application itself, the application is available. They can download it from the NDEE along with the scheduling process that they have in terms of when they submitted the request for inspection with the state, when Franz Lubbers went out and did the inspection. So that's all filed through a state permitting process. So that's how I stay up to date with, you know, anything new that's happening, you know, as far as state documentation or approval. I do have a copy. You have a copy of what I downloaded from the state, which is the construction permit. But that simply came from the state website. So
do you have any additional information on the 82nd Road
Hanover
project?
I looked yesterday. Nothing else has been filed by the state of Nebraska as far as anything that's come back in. So, and they have not been in touch, you know, as far as what they found out from boring or if they have that information back. So.
And just to clarify from earlier, that's what I was referring to, were the soil borings for subsurface water or trapped water on that northern barn. You have no idea intent on when to file a permit or anything like that then with you on the Liberty Barn?
I would imagine that they're going to wait for to see if they have to have additional information that the state's going to require before they come to us. But I would hope in the next 3 to 4 weeks we would be hearing back from the applicant. So. And I can reach out to them, too, to see where they're at. But I keep a mindful watch on that particular permit number that has been filed for a construction permit. So, and for the public, you know, to understand, it, once it gets to the state level, it has different facets. First, it has to be approved by the cropland that was put into that plan. Application rates, manure rates, and so forth, and then it goes over to the groundwater division. So there's several facets within the State Department, you know, before it ever gets approved, you know, or seeking more information. So but.
Just for timeline, the other application for that 82nd, the Hanover Township Swine Facility, that started at the state approximately when?
So they did not submit that particular permit to the state until would have to look. We had our hearing, and then we tabled. So it probably didn't go until March. I can't confirm until I look at their schedule, but it was after the fact of coming forward for planning and zoning. I've gone back through a little bit of the history. You know, it's been 9 years since we've had any hog facilities come into Gage County. We've had expansions to existing, but not new facilities. We certainly had poultry, facilities, but as far as filing for swine, we've not seen construction from a new side of things, only expansion.
Anything else for Lisa?
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Roads and Bridge, Mr. Juergens. Ms. Haxby.
They patched things, repaired things. They worked on shouldering hickory with some millings. We were talking about greater performance, and Mark has GPS on him, so he's able to check all those. Rockford Road will be milling next year, and then armor coat next year. And then working on patching E-Energy Adams.
I'll be tracking Rosie down later to present her with a plaque. Rosie Wohlers, she has worked in the courthouse now since 2007. She's worked with Dave Jones in maintenance. We had a small congratulations party for her on Friday for retirement. She'll be leaving us here. Today's actually her last day, so if you see her anywhere, tell her thank you. She's kind of been a fixture here in the courthouse for quite a few years. She chose not to come up here today, so I will find her and give her our thanks and wish her well and give her congratulations. But that's why she's not up here today. With that, we will move on to Elaine Mensel, legal counsel for NACO, to present our update.
I have a question for Road and Bridge. If I can do that now.
May as well, yeah.
Okay.
Because we'll be skipping over Elaine if she's not here.
She's with Rosie.
Send Gus out for search party.
What do you have for Road and Bridge?
Well, the village board chairman at Barnston asked me if they could close the street for a couple hours. It's actually East Hartwig Street, east side of Barnston. It's a county road. It's the county road that goes to Liberty. And they're having a fireworks celebration the weekend following 4th of July. It was 8th, 9th, something like that. He asked if they could close it for a couple hours for safety reasons. The pyrotechnics individual that's doing this suggested it.
Is it in the village corporate limits?
It's probably in their zoning limit. It's on the north side of the school.
If it's theirs,
it's maintained by the county.
We're going to say that falls under their corporate limits right now, and if they properly block the road.
Okay.
I'm saying that, Counselor, is that if it's in their zoning, we have nothing to do with it.
You can imagine the worst-case scenario would be an emergency where a fire truck or an ambulance has to get through, and I'm sure the barricades can be slipped aside if that happens. So unless Mark or Gus has any concerns about it.
As long as they're following procedure and calling dispatch to tell dispatch that section of road.
Okay, well, that's what I need to know, what procedure is.
Will you talk to them? So if a piece of road is closed, you call dispatch in Beatrice, make sure they know where it's closed, how long. That way when they dispatch emergency vehicles, they know that piece of road is closed and they bypass it. Maybe have them call the highway department also, just so that they're aware of it. But if we contact those two people. Sheriff, do you want notice of that, or will dispatch be good enough?
When I call dispatch, it will notify us that day.
Okay. So as long as they call dispatch and Beatrice and the highway department and go through the proper barricading on a piece of road, there'd be...
I think the next question I can imagine will be, well, surely Barson has some barricades, but... I would think so.
If not, have them call me, and I'm sure I can let them use some.
Okay. Thank you.
I mean, that's a nice event, yeah. We'll move on to Chief Probation Officer Melanie Stormer to introduce and present information regarding District 1 probation.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Let me go ahead and pass this out to everybody here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
I think I have just
Thank
enough.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, so good morning. As mentioned, my name is Melanie Stormer. I am the new Chief Probation Officer for District 1 Probation and also a recent citizen of Beatrice. So I relocated here from the state of Illinois, where I lived in a community very similar to Beatrice, and my entire professional history has been in probation. Life circumstances warranted me venturing out into an opportunity that brought me to Nebraska. So I'm thrilled to be here, really pleased to have the opportunity to meet everybody, and wanted to just share a little bit of just basic information about District 1 at this point in time. So what I have prepared for you is a PowerPoint presentation, just to walk through. On page 2, you see that District 1 probation is comprised of 10 counties, which, of course, Gage County is centrally located, and the primary focus of today's presentation. When we look at District 1, though, probation at a glance, we currently have 48 staff members throughout the district. And in just a few pages, it details who of those 48 provide services within Gage County. Year to date from, or I should say calendar year, 2022, 922 individuals received services of some sort through either supervisions, interventions, or reports for our district and county courts. Currently, our recidivism rates are as low as 20%, and of course that's something that we track, wanting to ensure the highest level of public safety by not only managing what's happening during the term of somebody's probation, but also working with them while we have them on probation to ensure that they have the ability to make different choices in the future that limit future criminal acts. So we do currently serve 3 district court judges and 5 county or juvenile court judges. We work with Region 5 of Behavioral Health Services, multiple HHS jurisdictions, and of course we work very closely with law enforcement, treatment providers, educators, attorneys, and court staff in each county. When you look at page 4, this is the detailed list of all of the personnel within the district that provide some type of services and or interventions within the county of Gage. Our office here in Beatrice is actually quite large, and we've been increasing in staff. When I look back at the past few years, in the area specifically of problem-solving court, adding some new officers in our drug courts. And we've also been battling much the same employment struggles, I guess I could say, that are occurring in many places, having to fill vacancies time and time again. So that's something that we are on the upside of right now. I'd like to say roughly 6 months ago, we were sitting at 10 vacancies and have made great strides in ensuring that we are recruiting and hiring very well qualified candidates. But because of that, you guys may see some new faces around. So just wanted to make sure I pointed out that comprehensive list. As I mentioned a minute ago, the purpose of the community supervision that we do provide within Gage County and throughout District 1 is twofold. One is, of course, to manage the risk of any of the individuals that have been sentenced to probation or to post-release supervision by our court system. And that is to ensure that individuals that we work with are, in fact, following the court orders, that they are following through on what it is that the court has expected them to do. Some of the activities included in that component of what we do includes definitely appropriate interventions, but things that I refer to almost as external controls, like drug testing, electronic monitoring, GPS monitoring, curfew, maintaining gainful employment, home visits, work visits, community visits, and what we refer to as both administrative sanctions and or custodial sanctions that can be applied in the event that individuals are not necessarily living up to the level of accountability expected. The second part of what we do while we have individuals on our caseload is around reducing their actual risk to reoffend. And so our focus during that is making sure that we are working with individuals to increase the number of what we refer to as pro-social peers, community members that they're engaged with. We try to get them back into recognizing that they're a member of this community and that they have a choice to be contributing rather than committing future law violations. And as I said, we want to work with them to introduce practical skills that will give them the choice to do things that are different in the future. When we do both of those at the same time, that's where we get the best recidivism rates possible. Because again, if we're not able to influence future behaviors, we're more likely to get the same behavior again. As far as adult services, I just put a brief description here. We conduct pre-sentence investigations for the courts, as many as they order. And this includes criminal history, detailed information about the criminal behaviors that have brought individuals into the justice system. It includes a social history about their family. There's almost nothing that we don't touch in these investigations. They're very comprehensive. But we look at not only the criminal behaviors, the social history. We also do validated assessment tools that help us to provide recommendations to the courts. And the courts ultimately then make the decisions about conditions of probation or post-release supervision. In terms of the types of individuals that we provide services for, we have individuals that fall into the category of high risk, moderate risk, low risk. We have drug court participants, domestic violence offenders, sex offenders, DUI offenders. And when we look at kind of the breakdown on page 7, this simply shows active adult caseload. So as of yesterday, the distribution across the district in terms of the types of cases that I just mentioned to you. And so you can see that Gage County is sitting with 23% of the district, which is the largest percentage of our adult population. Also, in terms of the pre-sentence investigations, interestingly enough, this year there, or yes, this is 2022 calendar year, there was a tie of Gage County and Thayer County both being at 24%. This is something that fluctuates all the time, and I'm happy to keep everybody posted on those trends from year to year as well. When we get to page 9, we're looking at what we do related to juvenile supervision or juvenile services. So with juveniles, we are involved every step of the way from the moment that youth begin demonstrating behaviors that are at risk of them being found delinquent. So lots of community involvement. I know our probation officers work with the schools here day in and day out to try to manage some of those behaviors. And there's a description here of the different types of juvenile cases that can come into the courts. What I will say is that the juvenile workload is incredibly demanding because when you're working with the youth, of course, you're working with their families, you're working with the schools, you've got all of the interventions, whether they're in-home interventions or out-of-home placements across the state of Nebraska. The number of people that a probation officer is in contact with for one juvenile case far exceeds the number of people that an adult officer would have to maintain contact with for one adult case. And so because of that, the workload is significantly lower when we look at the number of clients that a probation officer can handle as far as juveniles. And you have the current juvenile workload distribution for each of the counties. And again, not surprisingly, Gage County is our highest population of juvenile cases throughout the district. Much like the pre-sentence investigations, we also do pre-dispositional reports for the county juvenile court judges. Very similar to the pre-sentence investigation. It's just basically a full and comprehensive report with recommendations to the court. And the last couple things I wanted to share is that throughout the district, we have two things that are two centers, two offices that we have what is known as a reporting center, where the probation office, both Engage and also ODO, is open and provides groups on a daily and weekly basis for individuals to actually come to the probation department to receive services. And this is not an exhaustive list, but I did just want to provide some samples of what is happening within the building that is provided here in Gage County. Juvenile services, again, not an exhaustive list, but we are very involved in the placement of juveniles if it comes the time that they need to be removed from their home, and wanted to provide you guys with that information as well, just so that you had an idea of the level of responsibilities that really truly do fall on the officers who are making those decisions about where to place youth. And the last component I'm going to end up passing off, I believe, to our problem-solving courts coordinator, as she has some... No? Okay. Or perhaps Roger. What I didn't want to do is share too much data in the event that Chris also was going to share data today, and I'm not sure if that's happening or not, so sorry if I put you on the spot in that second. But our problem-solving courts... in Saline and Nemaha County, we have individuals that work through Gage County that also provide services through problem-solving court. So just because the courts are located in Saline and Nemaha counties does not mean that Beatrice residents are not receiving those services as well. Okay. One of the... last things I wanted to just leave you with is just kind of a quick snapshot of when we're looking at our problem-solving courts, which is the drug courts, the types of approaches that we use, completely comprehensive, and these are the opportunities where not only are we providing a higher level of services, but also There is weekly court contact, so the judges actually have face-to-face contact with these individuals as well, and the research is really strong, indicating that that is a huge predictor of future success. So I'm open to any questions, and I would like to say that I appreciate all the grace that you guys can offer me with regard to this presentation. I am always happy to research additional information that you may find more interesting or that may be more useful or beneficial to you all. So please don't ever hesitate to reach out. Let me know the information that you're interested in, and I am more than happy to present it.
I'd like to welcome you to Gage County and Beatrice. One of the benefits of District 1 being in Beatrice, of course, there are the 10 counties, and this is more for the public. The board and yourself know this, but those costs are shared on a rationed out basis based on use, or basically on use over an average time. So we pay a portion of those items, but we're still gaining property, offices, things like that here in Gage County. We have staff like yourself that lives here, so there is an economic piece of the puzzle with probation being located in Gage County. There's a little bit of paperwork and handling on that side, but it is nice for our citizens to have someone right here. But welcome to town. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
You've got your hands full. Roger, do you want to touch on this at all? I know this is a major help to your office.
Well, next item on the agenda is the approval of the Southeast Nebraska Drug Court project. So I'll talk about that.
Okay.
That's what, Chris.
Thank you, Roger. I didn't mean to put Chris on the spot for that.
No, I mean, that's something, again, the board has given the numbers and stuff, so we have those ahead of schedule.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And feel free to go down and talk to Melanie and take a tour of probation sometime. It is a nice facility. That's a nice interlocal we have with the city of Beatrice as well, where it's in one of their facilities right by the police department. Added safety. There's a bunch of benefits there of different government entities working together. So
absolutely.
Welcome to town.
Thank you.
Melanie.
Yes.
Yes, we just as well break the ice.
Yeah.
Way to dive in.
I love it.
With the facility down there, done a lot of work over the years, and I know at one time there was a lot of open spaces, but I know there's been more bodies hired down there, and for the board's sake, where are you at space-wise down there, and how is the office working currently?
So I would say, and thank you for that question, from everything that I've observed in the short time that I have been here, there currently is ample space within the probation office, the second floor, just above the police department. We, in the event that we had to manage additional employees in the future in Gage County, there would be some relatively simple options that would simply require looking at the space in a different way to lay things out differently. But if any of you have been up there or want to come up and see it, there's a relatively open layout, and so we have plenty of room for growth.
Good question.
Thanks.
Uh-huh. And Elaine with NACO is out, so we won't be going over her presentation today. Up next, approve or disapprove. Gary, would you like to put that?
Yeah, we can place on file the presentation and the information that Melanie Stormer, the Chief Probation Officer, offered today.
Again.
Moved by Lytle, second by Haxby. Any additional discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries to place that on file. Up next, approve or disapprove Drug Court 2324 interlocal agreement, and I'll turn this over to Roger.
You should have copies of the interlocal agreement that's already been approved by some of the counties that are involved in the Southeast Nebraska Adult Drug Court located in Saline County. Just a couple of items, and again, the county's been very supportive of this drug court concept since its initiation, and I was fortunate enough to be involved in the grant writing that went on with this, as well as Christina Lyons was also involved at that time. She was with probation and got it started over in this area. You'll note this year we were up a little bit as far as percentage of participants, which is, Chairman Thiemann pointed out, is how we're hinged as far as supporting financially the program. I'll give my hats off to Ms. Reese, Chris. She reduced the expenses by about $4,100 for the overall program, as well as we got a larger carryover from last year, $4,600. So even though we had more participants as a county, our amount actually went down from $10,047 to $9,295. So, I think that's excellent management on the part of Chris. And I would note, Chris is fairly new, replaced Amanda Van Asburn, and we also have Judge Bargan, who is a new district judge over in Slane County, covers that area, also covers drug court. And I think both of them are doing an excellent job taking over for their predecessors. Just a final note, a lot of people may have questions as far as when you give an opportunity for somebody that is a drug addict. And once you're a drug addict, you're always a drug addict. That's just a principle of dealing with addiction. The concept of the drug court is to rehabilitate them, get them off the drugs, help them recover. One of the comments I always remember is some of these people, when they come into the program, they didn't know there actually was life before noon. I know you guys were talking about getting up at 4:30 and 5 o'clock to go to work. These people, honest to God, don't get up before noon. Drug court teaches them what it's like to have a job, get up, be responsible, show up for that job on a regular basis. So, again, it's basically an 18-month program. It's intensive. There's consequences, immediate consequences. There's a deputy sheriff that Saline County provides. If the judge decides they're going to jail for a sanction, basically our sheriff goes and gets them, and they come to jail if they're from our county. So as far as cost savings, I figure the average cost of a district court felony drug case will be somewhere between $8,000 and $10,000. And that really doesn't take into account the law enforcement involved, the state patrol that has to test it, the witnesses that we have to bring in, and the cost to the county for the jury. So when you look at that as far as weighing, the $9,295 that we're giving to the drug court to keep going, it's very cost effective. And I think, as the director indicated, the recidivism rate continues to be very low. In fact, we're better than the national average by quite a bit. And so I would urge you to approve this contract again. I think it's very cost-effective for our county, and I believe in the program. If you've got any other questions, you've got three people here. You got to find an answer.
Mr. Weil.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Swavely. Any additional discussion on this? Mr. Lytle.
Just a short comment. Roger pretty well detailed everything. Two things to me that are important here is one, you're saving the county money, but two, the most important part is the human side of it, and the fact that this program helps to hopefully rehabilitate and make a drug addict a good member of society. It's a help to people, and to me it's a no-brainer type deal. That's why I support it as much as I do.
Any other comment from the board? I'm sure a lot of you know people that are in drug court and probably don't even realize it at times, but I've seen this in different people I work with too, and there's a lot of success that does come out of this. And there's always that discussion, you throw them in jail or you try to make them productive. And I mean, hopefully we can get as many productive people as we can. We definitely need it. We have a motion by Lytle, second by Swavely. Any additional comment? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Everything you bring, Roger, it always just flies through.
It flies. It may not fly through.
Recess before the song.
Right here.
Telling that.
Okay.
I got 3 copies.
Do you want a brief recess, Eddie? Okay, we'll take a brief recess at 9:35.
What? Too close.
We will reconvene at 9:43 on the clock. The next item on the agenda is discussion and approval or disapproval of solar regulations. You have a copy of the proposed solar regulations in front of you that we've been discussing. These were put together by the Planning and Zoning Commission. What I'd like to do today, if we can, is just start on 6.8, start right at the beginning and go through. If there are potential changes you guys would like to make, we'll ask for a change, and from there we'll vote on that change. We'll get together a group of regulations that the board's all right with, semi all right, whatever we get through or get past. Then we will still need to set our public hearing. Give that to the public, give them a chance for input on the proposed regulations, and then 2 weeks after that, we will vote and approve them. But if we have a set of regulations from the board that we can approve today, a set of regulations that we can put together today that we think we're all right with, then we can set up the hearing process. We can't technically approve a set today. Does everyone have a copy in front of them currently? I guess I'll ask first. It would start with 6.8 solar energy conversion systems.
I don't.
There is. Lisa, do you have enough for a couple copies?
No.
Wait just a second here. I would like to, Mr. Jeweler, do you have your copy?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't
this
know.
This is the most current.
Yeah.
Well, this is as of September 13th.
Look at that. Supervisor.
This would be as of March 14th.
Okay. I don't think
it's a public hearing.
Was that a public hearing we held before? Mm-hmm. That wasn't a public hearing, was it?
Yes.
We had a public hearing on solar rigs?
You had your hearing
we
April
did.
5th.
April 5th, 9:30 a.m.
Oh, well, we can approve a set of...
And you tabled it.
Wait a minute.
We
can do this again?
We can have a... No, I was just kidding.
I'm sorry. I misled him because I wasn't at that meeting. So.
Well, I just wanted to make sure you guys were paying attention.
Yeah, right.
So
it wasn't his fault.
Your assistant was here.
I was flying backwards.
Okay.
So we will... This is as of our hearing, April 5th, 9:30 a.m. Okay, so... Any changes we want to make to these? I'm sorry. Like I say, I was just joking. One thing I would like to propose, I'll start off right away if you go to the back page. I would like to propose the back page deals with setbacks. And we may have some additional discussion on setbacks still. But I'd like to propose...
quick question. That back page is just a chart, more of a note thing, not where the setbacks are. The setbacks are actually in the regs.
But this back chart kind of gives an overview of what the regs state currently, correct?
Right, but we would have to. It wouldn't be on that chart where we would make changes. It would be within the regs themselves.
Right, we'd have to attach this in somewhere. I don't know the exact place to insert this. It really works well if we can keep this chart and incorporate it into the regs.
Sure.
This is probably as interactive a piece. We just have to make sure it's updated to match what the actual regulations are. But if you look on that back page, it does show what the regulations state. So I guess I would propose that, first of all, to incorporate this chart into our regulations, updated with whatever the verbiage is, just so that we have the correct distances on here. But along with that and in the regulations, I would like to propose adding some language that says solar structures / facilities that will be part of an industrial special use permit will be governed by the setback limits of that permit if they will be producing electricity for self-consumption and not selling it onto the grid. And then along with that, other solar regulations, for example, buffers, will still apply.
So the only exemption with that would be the setback policy. Everything else would be...
This would only deal with the setbacks. It would not deal with any other changes in the regulations. So...
Do you have that written out somewhere that I can...
So I have it written on this small yellow piece of paper since I have no one at my office to send me the typed-out version.
Okay, what is it?
I'll just hand this to you here in a second. Or do you want to send that to Emily?
I'm doing track changes so that we have them on paper as we go.
I sent it to her.
She just sent it to your phone.
Okay, thank you.
Boy, what would we do if he wouldn't have those phones?
I guess with that, I would ask for a motion and a second on that, and we can discuss it.
On your amendment?
Yeah.
Yeah, so moved.
Second.
So we have a motion by Lytle, second by Dorn. The thought process behind that would be if we have an industrial project, we'll use E-Energy, for example. We've got an industrial project in the county. It has setbacks. It has special use permits. That'll still come to the board, P&Z, and then the board. If there's other regulations we want to apply to that, we can. But you're going to have other industrial pieces along with that. It's not like a standalone energy producer somewhere else. So you're probably going to have large structures, perhaps stacks, bins, other industrial facilities there anyway. It makes sense while you're putting another solar facility or while you're putting an industrial facility in, if there is solar attached to that it just falls under those regulations. It'll still be dealt with through that special use permit, but you could potentially have an incoming industry, and from what we're seeing from Norris and some of the other places, there's green energy attached to a lot of those. So someone may not be able to put in their facility without two special use permits. That's two sets of hearings. That's two everything else. If they can deal with that in one package, it doesn't guarantee that it'll go through, but at least it's one permitting process they're going through instead of multiple.
Question for you. Would the key here be self-generating, or what other term that you stated in the description was those industries that are going to be self-generating their own power at that particular location and then not be going back on to net metering?
Basically not going back on to the grid. It's for their consumption.
Attached to that location. It can't be be 3 miles away, like attached to that location.
So that would be neat. So you're talking, referencing a part within that partial or within an adjoining partial?
Adjoining, directly attached to.
So that's conversation for you guys to have, because they're... an area might be limited, so they may have to skip over, you know, two or three partials or another mile away to get it, or two or three, you know, to get it transmitted into their own self-generation. So that's a conversation, I guess, for some discussion as to whether or not it has to be exactly on that partial or can it be self-generating on another partial. So
I would think if they're going to, if somebody's going to go to the extent of make themselves their own power, that they will have enough property that they can put it all in one containment area. I mean, I wouldn't see why they would want to stretch it out. If I'm going to do something, I would put it right next to my buildings, so it's all part of the complex.
How would we phrase that? Like, would solar facility must be attached to that facility or within the confines of that facility?
Contiguous.
Contiguous.
Yep, contiguous.
Eric.
Mr. Schuler.
I don't understand the need to separate solar for industrial use. Solar energy is industry, whether it's got other structures there or not. I'm concerned that somebody could take us to court by distinguishing the two. I don't understand the difference between self-use or putting it on the grid. I mean, I know the difference, but I don't understand why planning and zoning would have any difference. And I'm certainly not, in favor of the industry coming in, being able to put their solar power up and use clean energy if they so choose to. I'm in favor of that, but I'm also in favor of encouraging the industry of solar energy, or at least not discouraging solar energy from coming into our county. So I feel that the regulations should be pretty much the same, if not entirely the same. And I don't know what legal counsel would say to how that, if there is a legal issue there.
I would say they can sue us because they can sue us over anything. I just don't know if there's any.
But could they win?
Well, basically, you can. This would be horrible to say, but you can discriminate under the U.S. Constitution if there's a reasonable basis for the distinction. So that's, you'd have to.
Okay.
If you're going to treat them differently, there has to be a reasonable basis. And as Eric's getting to there, there's always two sides to reasonableness.
True.
So
that's what I'm asking for us to think about. Is there a reasonable reason to discriminate? We want to be cautious about that.
Saxby. Dave, was up
first. I don't think we would be discriminating in that case, okay? We're trying to make it so that whoever it is doesn't have to go through a whole bunch of hearings and a whole bunch of meetings just to, because I want to do this, I've got to go here and I've got to go here and I've got to go here. And that's, we're trying to eliminate some of that so that, if we have a setback, that's one thing. Okay, but in this particular case, I think what he's talking about is that this will be one big complex. It'll be like a big industry or building site, period.
Well, I can understand streamlining the process, but there's big variation in the setback regulations between solar energy just as an industry itself, or if it's used for an additional or another energy or another industry. We can work with them, try to streamline the application process so we don't have to have so many public hearings and so forth. At least I would hope we could. But at the same time, do we need to distinguish between solar energy to put on the grid and industrial energy that this used themselves?
Ms. Axby.
I think there is a very significant distinction because when you're talking about an industrial area, adding on a solar facility isn't going to change the visual impact of that facility. When you are putting a 3,000-acre facility in the middle of farm ground that's going to power Chicago, it's two very different things.
Does any other county in Nebraska or in the country have this kind of a regulation? Does anybody know?
Or Gage County, I really don't. We do our own thing.
Well, we seem to follow other counties in regards to other things, and it matters. At least it has to you.
I guess I wouldn't even care if it's connect. I guess my initial intention would be not even caring if it's connected directly. I would say if we have a halo or something, like Dave said, the idea would be to be as close as possible because of large expense. If, say, the courthouse, if we're going to power it with solar, we're not going to put a solar farm out north of town and pump the power back here. We're going to want it as close as possible, but there may be, in an agricultural solar facility, there may be areas, there may be farms in between that aren't wanting to be part of that, so maybe there would be a distance between, or some of it would be out further. I'd rather see a halo or something if you want to do, to keep it within an industrial area, or keep it within, an industrial area may be a quarter, it may be a mile. We've got the Gage County Industrial Park, which is now Beatrice, but that's grown significantly with like industries. Hoyg, we have, it's grown with like industries. Up by Cortland, they're trying to grow some. Now, whether it's going to work or not, Ms. Haxby?
I was just going to say, your the motion and second that we have now reads solar structures, facilities that will be part of an industrial special use permit will be governed by the setbacks of that permit if they will be producing electricity for self-consumption and not selling onto the grid. All other regulations will still apply. I would like to amend that and add the sentence before the last saying solar facility must be attached /contiguous to that facility.
Well, it's going to be real difficult. Could be very difficult to be able to obtain property, enough property to be contingent to the industrial site's property. Some landowners may not want to sell.
Solar facility must be attached/contiguous
to that facility.
So that's my fear, is it might be hard to have it. There may be a jump over, an 80 or, some of those pieces of property may or may not want to sell immediately. Others may want to wait and let prices go up. But that'll be a solar facility must be attached / contiguous to property. That would be my fear, I guess. Is I know your thought, Emily's, have it, if it's this facility, have it all there. I just don't know if that's always realistic.
Would they be limited to the amount of parcels that they can obtain then?
Purchase.
Yeah.
It would be similar to you may have a loadout facility that's separate from a piece of property. They just may be split. That would be my fear, I guess.
You'd have a rail spur.
Or a rail spur that's separate and somewhere else.
You hope it doesn't, but there's limitations.
But we do have that's a motion, I assume, Ms. Haxby. We do have a motion. Does everyone understand that motion? Basically wording that would make it continuous property attached, not spaced out at all.
What size of facility?
Big ones. Any structure that it would be anywhere size of structure attached to a facility itself. Because
right,
what we're saying
what
is
size
that
are you looking
any,
at class four?
But it would be
four.
It would be only those attached to a facility. It actually. What the motion says is that if, let's say, an industry comes in mm-hmm. and they want to have a solar facility on it, instead of having these pertain to them at all, the setbacks part, it would just go with a special use permit. And I'm saying that if we're going to do that, make it stay with that facility. If we're going to allow them to do it with the facility, then it should be with the facility.
But I mean
on the permit.
The thoughts of a 3,000-acre solar farm.
This wouldn't be limited. It could be a half section. It could be a quarter section. It could be it could be any size.
But it may need to be 3,000.
But that's probably not a realistic. I mean, that's probably not a realistic need to need that much. We'll say that though, and then this is me thinking a solar farm is a few acres, and now we're here in 3,000. But
well, the thing that I can remember from the public hearing, I guess it was. Norse wanted to put in six facilities in their six-county district. And I think, according to Lisa here, they've already started in other counties.
Yeah, I showed you pictures today. Right. Yeah, and that is what, as of Sunday, that is the, I think, the project, first project that's directly south of Deschler. So from today's power, and that is those one of six.
Well, the thing that I was getting at was it floored me when he said that if they got in six of these units, it would be cover 10 acres. That would produce enough electricity to supply Norse with 3% of those needs, 6 10-acre plots of ground throughout their district. And to me, that was a lot. The other thing that was stated was they would look at the cost of the power when that came on from NPPD, and correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, and that cost would stay flat for 30 years. Flat, no increases for 30 years. Also, they had an option for 5 years to re-up at the same cost, I believe. Now, in 30 years, solar might be a thing of the past. We don't know that. But they had that option. But for 30 years, that cost stayed flat. And to me, those 10 acres times six, that was a huge number, no bigger than what they were taking for coverage. That 10 acres times six was 3%.
And their operations that they currently are running are going to fall under class two. So class two under your table.
Right. It was that, yeah, class two.
That's a power producer. That's all they do. Realistically, if someone's producing for themselves,
I get that.
All
I'm talking about the scope of it. If a 10-acre plot would produce that much electricity, I mean, they must have them refined so much nowadays. Like in a industrial area, you wouldn't be looking at a 3,000-acre piece of ground to produce electricity they need. Granted, probably won't be all of it, won't be there all the time, but still, I mean, it's...
My fear for having it all together, though, we've all been involved with right-of-way discussions. Sometimes just trying to get a little bit of ground right next to our own road that we're maintaining anyway to put a structure and an improvement in, it's almost impossible. I know Chairman Dorn struggled trying to get stuff in to put in a paved piece of road that no one was going to have to pay for. Well, I can't say that. Everyone was paying for it, but directly not paying for it, but directly benefiting from it. That would be my fear in making it continuous between everything.
I think we might be blowing some of these sizes out of proportion. I mean, it doesn't take too many acres, okay, to come up with a couple megawatts, which would probably be required for something like this. We're talking maybe 20 or 30 acres most. And most times you can find areas if you have a big enough industrial complex or workings where you're working with, okay, that they can find you a spot that is rated or classified as that. And, you know, you're not going to need, you know, thousands of acres. It's going to be a, you know,
but anything in Gage County is probably going to be built on ag land, which is classified as ag land, until the special use permit would come to us. And then even if this wording is in here, when a project would come to P&Z, they would still have to review it, look everything over. There would be potential checks in there. And then when it came to the board, there would be the same items again. We would be able to go through and look at any specifics. One thing Ms. Haxby had talked about was surrounding a piece of property. If there's a house and you're surrounding around that house, that's not, you know, that's not the intention. So if we had something like that, that would be an item of discussion. You're not trying to make islands out there with access only by road, but it's really hard when things are hypothetical to do it. But I mean, if you're in an industrial area, you're in an industrial area. We have specific areas like that in the county. They're spread out too. You know, you look at different places and they have a piece here and they may have another piece down the road, but they're still the same facility. It's just they're not all connected. We do have a motion by Ms. Haxby to make this continuous. I'll ask, do we have a second for that amendment to the amendment?
Second.
We have a motion by Haxby, second by Dorn, and that is to make property continuous. Any additional discussion on the amendment? Mr. Lytle.
So this first vote is going to be the amendment to the amendment, not the amendment itself.
Correct.
Just to be clear.
Just to make it continuous, Ms. Haxby.
I guess the reason for the amendment is we're talking about allowing them to use it off-grid. I don't want it misused by putting it 3 miles away from a facility that's already there. I think it needs to be attached if they're going to use it that way.
And this this original motion would be to put it off-grid only going to one facility.
Correct, but you can still be off-grid and have this facility 3 miles away and bury the transmission lines. It's still off-grid.
Correct.
It needs to be attached to the facility that it is applied with.
Counselor.
Yeah, again, some of that, typically your facility is going to be located by some transport, either road or rail or something like that. And just to play the devil's advocate on that, why do you want to waste that valuable land versus going off-site? Because you're going to have to fiber or something like that to bring it. It wouldn't necessarily be overhead. But I just throw that out. And the other thing, like somebody said, you do have an opportunity to look at these things. If you're going to surround somebody, for instance, the Masters golf tournament comes to mind. It's got that little house that they will not sell, no matter what. It's not, I know they've offered them a lot of money, and that's fine. They made that decision. Most places it can offer enough money. I agree with Dave. I think if you're gonna walk in and say, I need 30 acres, that's for my future expansion, for my power grid, whatever it is, you're going to get that. If you can't find it here, you move down the road.
Mr. Lytle.
And I understand the intent. I understand the intent. The intent is, Emily, correct me if I'm wrong, is to keep all of the facility into one area so you don't have facility here and then facility over here with the one project. The issue that I think that's restrictive, and I don't think it's somewhere that we need to go. Personally, I don't feel. Because, if you build the facility here and, a quarter mile away you have a house, so then that restricts you as far as putting that facility in there. Why not have the ability to go three quarters of a mile down the road and be able to put the line underneath the ground and bring the energy into the facility from a solar facility that's three quarters of a mile away or a mile and a half or away? If you have less suitable ground that would better support that solar source for the facility that's a little ways away, I don't think we want to restrict the ability to do that. I don't think that's what we want to do. And that's what this would do.
I'd like to suggest we talk about setbacks for solar energy.
We will. This is only just on...
But won't that could affect this decision?
Potentially. This would be...
This be needed?
This is strictly for someone that's not generating for off-site, so...
I realize that.
Like Mr. Lytle said, this would be, say there's a bad parcel, something else, you've got really good ground, bad over here, you could still do this. But this motion right now would only be to make it all connected. Any other comment or question on the amendment to the amendment that would only be on making it continuous? So a vote for would make it have to be continuous. A vote against would be... to go back to the original motion we won't mess with that at this time, but you know what that is right now. I guess one last argument against having it connected, it could be as simple as something crossing a road. Then is it connected or is it not connected?
It'd
so
be contiguous.
If you own the ground on both sides of the road, it would be.
Yeah, it would be contiguous.
Maybe.
Well,
it would be.
It's my property.
There would technically be fences, though, on both sides.
It's next to each other.
You do own right up to the center of the road.
Oh.
I mean, that's... Mm-hmm. We run into that on some of our stuff, you know. Yeah, I know. It depends where the center is.
Okay, we have a motion by Hatchby, second by Dorn. Any other discussion on the amendment to the amendment or any questions on that before we vote? Please vote. Huh. Is that a no vote, Terry? Four to three, motion fails. The amendment to the amendment fails. We'll go back to the initial amendment. Is that the vote now, Lytle?
No.
Okay. Yeah, you have to shut it off.
Turn that thing off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Jurgen Schuler, Thiemann, and Lytle voting no. Haxby, Dorn, and Swavely voting yes. 4-3, motion fails. I'm sorry. I thought you meant somebody changed their vote, and it's like.
Keep in mind, she's on a lawsuit for electioneering.
we'll go back to the initial.
Bring that up.
Is there any other?
Are you done now?
You know that.
Any other discussion on the initial motion? Ms. Haxby.
I just needed to
try a different one. I'd move to amend saying the solar facility must be located within 1 mile of the proposed industrial site. If you want a halo, that'd be the halo.
We have a motion to extend a halo of 1 mile.
Solar facility must be located within 1 mile of proposed industrial site.
1 mile halo. We have a motion by Haxby to extend a 1 mile halo of the facility. Do we have a second?
What does that do with setbacks then?
It would have to be within that. I mean, he was talking about worrying about crossing roads. I still want to see this thing, you know, it should be attached to the facility. If we're worried about roads, let's make a halo.
I don't care if it's, I mean, my intention is not to make it attached. I guess I would, if it's down the road, that's okay with me.
Down the road a mile, that'd be it.
So it'd have to be within the mile radius.
Of that facility, of that industrial site.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
And for what reason again?
The concept of this is that it's supposed to be with the facility. When you have an industrial site that big, having a solar facility attached to it's not going to make a difference. They're going to use that power, keep it with the facility.
Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you've got a prime piece of ground here, 2 miles away, you got nothing but rock. And why restrict them from using that one that's sitting here where the sun's going to hit it all the time and bring it from 2 miles away? I guess I don't, what would be the difference?
We're talking about setbacks. You want to eliminate your setbacks with an industrial use permit. I don't think that's right to eliminate those setbacks when it's 2 miles away and not attached to that facility.
We have a motion by Haxby for a 1 mile halo. We have a second by Swavely. Any additional discussion on a 1 mile, 1 mile halo, 1 mile radius of the project? Any discussion on adding the language to make it a 1 mile radius of the project, industrial facility?
I think the important word is industrial. That's the key word.
That's the thing. I mean, having an industrial site, I guess that's the intention, an industrial facility, not just, self-generating on any industrial site is going to make a difference.
How big a unit are we talking here then?
It could be a half mile or a half section big.
It's a hypothetical, Terry, so it's really hard to.
20 or 30 acres should give you, if you could place them side by side and do it the right way, should give you the amount of power requirements you'd need.
Potentially, but
yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, it's not, you know.
But we're speaking hypothetical. We don't know how much
power. No, nobody knows. I mean, it's not.
Listened to and heard and read about. Okay, that's all we're looking at right now. We're not looking at. I mean, you can say all you want, but it's just still until it's built. You know, there's going to be there could be. So I say 30 acres. Well, it ends up being 38. So what? I mean, that's the
intention would be to just encourage. If somebody is going to do it, it's part of an industrial facility. So Emily's argument would be keep it all together.
And
not spread it out everywhere. I would say the other side where I'm kind of like Terry, if it's down the road a little ways. I mean, I'm going to use E-Energy Adams again. They don't have any solar equipment up there that I know of. But if they had something 3 miles to the east of them, can you see the plant from 3 miles away? Yeah. It's just another piece of that. Or I'll use Fairmont and Fillmore County. If you had something a few miles down the road, you can still see the facility. So, I mean, it's not like there's pristine beauty that you're changing. It's just another piece of the plant in another area.
So do we have to state any miles?
No, we don't have to, but this is the amendment that we have right now is a one-mile halo. I didn't have any distance on it, and that was intentional. This is the motion and second we have those 1 mile. Mr. Lytle?
What? At some point, it comes cost prohibitive to go too far away because of all the expense that it's going to be to put in a system that's X amount of miles away. What that is, I don't know. But I guess I'm a little leery on putting any type of a restriction in this case. You're not talking about a 1,000-acre project in order to run an industrial facility that you'd be looking at bringing in. You're not gonna. I don't believe that you would have a 1,000-acre type facility come in.
That
to be off grid. That would make no sense.
That's for a power company. That's not for.
So I think I just don't see the reason to do this.
Did you have something, Mr. Swavely? Mm-hmm.
I'd say it'd also be cost prohibitive, possibly, if you couldn't reach out, if you're held right there contingent that. The landowner's got you. So it could be cost prohibitive to buy property that joins you, just to be on the other side, just to be devil's advocate.
If we don't have some sort of thing that makes this stay with the industrial site, then I don't think it's right to put a special exemption for an industry for their solar. It should be just with everything else if it's not attached. It needs to be right by their facility if they're going to use it that way. Otherwise, it's no different. You know, they could put it 3, 4, 5, 10 miles away even, and it'd be no different than any other commercial industry coming in here. And then they should pertain to all the regs.
Here. Lisa and I were just side-chatting here a little bit. If that solar facility is off the industrial facility's property right in there, you're not dismissing the setback. They're still going to have to.
I would not. If I was interpreting what you were trying to do,
they would fall under the industrial setbacks, whatever the setbacks for the rest of the facility would be.
Which would eliminate those setbacks.
Well, we'll talk on that one when we go back to the original motion. Right now, the motion is for a 1 mile halo.
Basically, wherever the solar panels are, we'll have setback requirements.
They would fall under the same as the.
If it's 5 miles, it's 20 miles. It's going to have the same setback requirements.
As the plant, as the industrial permit.
Yeah, which is why I'm saying that it's not right to. If it's 3 miles away, attached to this thing, not fit our other regulations.
Instead of having a setback of a half a mile,
it'd be 75.
Instead of having a setback of a eighth of a mile, it could be 75 or 150 feet or something like that from a property line. But right now, this is on a one-mile halo. Any other discussion on the amendment to the amendment for a one-mile halo? We have a motion by Haxby, second by Swavely. A vote for would add a mile radius. A vote against would not add distance language. Any questions, comment? Please vote. 5-2 against, with Juergens, Schuler, Thiemann, Dorn, Lytle voting no. Swavely, Haxby voting yes. Motion fails. Back to the initial motion. I'm going to read through it again. Miss Haxby.
Another one. if we're going to do this, if this stays off-grid, any solar facility located outside of a mile of an industrial site will meet all regulations. Right. They will not have the exemption.
That's the same as the last motion.
I don't think, if we're going to do this, it shouldn't have.
You can't
make stipulations for something that's going to be 5 miles away and say, this is part of this facility. It's not anymore.
But that is the same motion, just with different wording. We have a motion outside of a one-mile radius basically it puts a one-mile radius on the project. Anything outside of that 1 mile would not apply to
this exemption.
It's a 1 mile radius on the project.
If they want the exemption,
they have to be within 1 mile.
They have to be within 1 mile
for your
setbacks. Because otherwise you could be 10 miles away and you've just given an exemption for a setback out in the middle of nowhere. It's not.
We do have a motion. We have a motion for a 1 mile radius. Do we have a second? Solar. Do you have that, Don?
I'm not 100% positive. So, so outside of
anything outside of one
facility,
any solar facility outside of 1 mile radius of an industrial facility.
Any
solar facility outside of 1 mile.
Yep. That is part of an industrial site used off-grid.
It is part of an industrial site used off-grid.
Industrial site.
Do we have a second?
Off-grid.
Yeah, why not?
Would not apply to the exemption then, right?
I'm going to, just for the record, I'll say the intention is to be granted the exception. They have to be within 1 mile of the facility.
Yep.
Okay, just for making it clear.
That's basically what we just argued and said no about twice, okay, so.
Well, you seconded
granted,
it.
To be granted the exemption. What did you say?
Any solar facility outside of 1 mile radius of an industrial site with a solar exemption would not be granted this exemption. But, I mean, the intention is it has to be within 1 mile. Any question or comment on this motion? We have a motion by Haxby, second by Swavely. Please vote.
Same thing.
5 against, 2 for. 5 against, 2 in favor. With Haxby and Swavely voting yes. Juergens, Schuler, Thiemann, Dorn, Lytle voting no. Motion fails. Any comment or Ms. Haxby?
Not a motion. I have a comment.
Oh, okay.
I will not support this because if we're going to do an exemption, we need to be very specific. I think this is going to be misused. I think that it needs to stay within that facility. And if we can't find a way to make sure that it is with the facility, then I will not support this motion. So we have to find a different way. If you guys can phrase it a better way that makes it okay. But I don't think it's right for a facility that's here, put a solar facility 5 miles away, call it part of their facility, get essentially zero setbacks compared to anything else, and call it the same. It's not the same. They're two different things.
Any other comment on the initial motion? Mr. Lytle.
We're back to the initial one that I brought and
yes.
And Eddie seconded, correct?
Or the one you brought.
Motion by Lytle, second by Dorn on yes. This one. Yes.
Wait a minute. Eric made a motion.
Lytle made motion. Dorn made a second.
You said what you wanted, so where do you fit
where
in?
Did the motion?
I brought it up. Lytle made a motion.
Well, okay, so Lytle is motioning what you want?
Yes.
Okay.
Dorn seconded it. Now we're back to the beginning.
Okay.
Do you want me to read through that again?
Do read it again, but then I got a comment after that.
Solar structures / facilities that will be part of an industrial special use permit will be governed by the setback limits of that permit. If they will be producing electricity for self-consumption and not selling it back onto the grid, other solar regulations such as buffers will still apply. So that's a very blanket. It's basically it would be under the permitting of that other project, which would still have oversight of PNZ and ourselves before anything came up. I'm going to compare this to the swine facility, where when this goes, we've talked about we may require extra trees, which are not part of our regulation, but we may require them on a case-by-case basis. Mr. Lytle.
Yeah, and I'm still comfortable with that motion. I have no reason to backtrack on it. The one thing that, you know, if this board wants to discuss or consider is if we want to add some condition as to the size of solar facility that would be attached, because I mean I don't see that it is a necessary thing to muddle up your legislation you're creating, because I just don't see that there's going to be a facility that's going to have 1,000-acre solar farm attached to it. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
As soon as we say 100, somebody will want 110.
Sure. Right. So, you know, is there a need to put some type of a upper limit on the acreage that would be used in that? But I just don't see any.
Self-production, I think, or self-consumption is the key to the limit.
Yeah.
Mr. Lytle. And then Ms. Haxby. Or Mr. Juergens and Ms. Haxby.
There's still setback requirements, right?
No, it'd be gone. It'd be based on the permit, not the regs.
Ms. Haxby is right. It would be based on the industrial setbacks instead of – it would be whatever the facility being permitted would be, those setbacks would be in place instead of the
– Completely different than the solar.
Completely different than solar, because the argument is if you have an industrial permit, I can build a building – you know, 150 feet off the road, but I can build up under the current proposal. If I'm going to build a solar facility, I have to be an eighth mile away.
Mm-hmm.
Where if somebody comes to apply, there's two separate permits, and there's one for that production, one for this production, or one for this. There's a permit for this facility, permit for this facility. Well, if this one passes and this one doesn't, well, then everything's out. If you have something that, where they can go in and do one permit,
and I understand one set that of setbacks. Concept, but I still think the solar should be held to the regulations that are in here rather than the industrial part of it.
If you do that, then it gets rid of the exemption. It would get rid of the exemption completely. You just have...
But, I mean, you could come right up to a property line with them or a house or whatever the setback here. Whatever the permit for the setback on the industrial unit that's going in would follow the same permit with the solar?
Yes, except the difference would be we still have the ability to change anything in an individual permit like say you're going to go up against a house with an industrial site.
Right.
Well,
there's regulations on that.
Yeah, so those regulations would still be the same. So then the argument becomes, is it better to have a 30-foot-tall warehouse next to the house and flip-flop the site, or is it better to have solar panels over there? But we have the ability to make any of those
Lisa,
individual adjustments.
What are we doing here?
How are you doing?
I'm asking you, your opinion.
So you're right in terms of on the industrial, it will have its usual set of setbacks. So in this particular case, if you're allowing this to all be done as one, you eliminate the opportunity to utilize the class four setbacks of the quarter mile on the solar, the way that particular motion reads. So
if you're self-consuming, you'd have the same setback whether you're building a building or whether you're building a solar panel, or I guess a solar panel, solar
field.
Structure, solar machine.
Field.
Did you have something, Mr.
Well, Smith? I'll just say the same thing. I think we need to discuss the setback regulations for solar industry overall discussion.
And we will. I mean, that'll be up for discussion right away. I just thought I'd just jump in with both feet right away. Ms. Haxby, do you have something?
I'd feel more comfortable if we put like a quarter section cap, 160 acres. If we're talking these 10-acre things can power 3%, then a quarter section should be more than sufficient. If they're going to go anywhere and we're going to allow that permit to be anywhere when attached to a facility, then let's cap it, 160 acres.
What if they need 165?
Tough cookies, make it 160.
One thing that bothered me a little bit is, in industry has a whole different type of setbacks, but we're letting them, with the solar part of it, follow the same as what the setbacks are for the industry if we vote for this.
Correct.
That bothers me a little bit. It really does.
The intention of that would be...
And I know the intention.
If you're having this, I mean...
Cause a meeting.
I get that side.
Just so you know the intention, though, I mean, as things go together, I mean, I don't want to have, say I live somewhere, I don't want to have Xmark build next door to my house necessarily. But if, and I'm not saying that because I don't like Xmark, I'm just using them as a local factor we have.
Because it's a large facility.
It's a large facility. But look how many houses have been built across the street from Xmark.
Right.
After Xmark was there already. If you're going to have a large facility somewhere, a large facility, as long as it's not, you know, I could see if they're making, you know, a large facility is a large facility. Whether they're collecting sunshine or grinding corn or whatever, I guess, I just see this as being, they'll only make what they need. They aren't going to locate further away than they have to. And they're not going to, if they can't sell it onto the grid, which that's part of this motion, they're not going to just build it because it's cheaper to build it bigger. They're going to build as small as possible because they can't sell it. So,
and I understand that part, but the part that I don't quite have straight in my head is it doesn't fall any setbacks in, basically.
Well, there's setbacks,
the way it's
but
worked.
It's...
But I mean, I don't know what setbacks for industry are, I guess. What would those be?
20 foot from the property line for rear, basically. But then they may have state standards that they have to adhere to for, you know,
well,
noise.
Well, I'm just saying I would hate to have a solar 20 feet from my house.
Yeah, we'd have
And that's what possibly could happen, I guess. We're
Mr. Lytle.
So on your concern there, Terry, they're not going to be able to get around having the buffers, okay? So they got to have the buffer between the house and the solar array. So that's going to take up some...
I thought we were going by an industrial array, yeah. You said.
That would still have the buffer. So the last line of this says, other solar regulations such as buffers will still apply. So you'd still have to have whatever buffer we decide, berm, trees, whatever... And that would still be off the property line. You'd still have to have all of that. So whatever we decide for our other regulations would still apply. Say we have a noise regulation, we have anything else. That still applies. This is only for setbacks for projects that are going to be for self-producers, self-consumers. anything else on this motion in particular before we start looking at other stuff?
I would be more comfortable with an acre limit. If we're going to do this, let's cap the acres, because you're talking about giving, 20 foot to the back for an industrial site versus if it's over 20 acres, we have a bigger setback. You're allowing it 20 feet just because it's attached to a facility 3 miles away.
And that is the intention. I mean, that's the exemption intention.
But keep in mind, Emily, that 20 feet is still not going to be 20 feet because you're going to have buffers and whatever else in place. So you're still going to be, by the time you put a buffer in, you're going to be eighth of a mile probably.
I would say if there's a house somewhere, I would think PNZ or the Board of Supervisors would also increase that off of a house. We'd have every ability to. But we don't know if there's a hypothetical project, if there's hypothetical house A and B right now,
right.
Mr. Lytle.
Eric, I'm not anywhere sharp on an electric, as far as electric goes, but if you were going to power a plant and maybe Dave would have an idea, like say Neapco, if you have a facility that size, how much electricity production would you have, and how big of a solar array would it be? Is a quarter section going to be more than enough, which I would think that it would be?
I would have no idea, but I will say right now, I'm sure this is public record too, as of right now, say we wanted to have a new manufacturing facility come into Beatrice, into town. Beatrice currently doesn't have enough power to even supply that. So there's other benefits to having some off-grid production that will allow for stuff to come in. I think right now we're a long ways out from having enough power locally to even provide that. We do have a new, Beatrice, the county.
Excess power.
Yeah, there's enough power to take care of what we have, but there's not enough excess power to even provide that. Did you have something, Ms. Haxby?
I guess I wouldn't have a big struggle if Emily was wanting to put 160 on it. I guess I wouldn't have as much struggle as the. I don't know.
It would make me nervous if we say 160, they're going to want 165. If somebody's not going to be able to sell it, you're going to produce as little as possible.
I just don't see needing that much space, but
I don't know how much it actually takes. But I mean, you don't know because we're talking in hypotheticals here. It's an encouragement for somebody to produce power and use it themselves.
And I guess here's the other thing, Eric. And I'm obviously going to open up my playbook here and let you know where I stand on setbacks. When you're talking about a 500 or 600 foot tower that spins three rotors in the air and looks the way it looks, I understand setbacks a lot more. We had somebody that stood here that has done a lot of research on this and talked about the different parts of solar energy. And, you know, I have a struggle with setbacks that are too limiting on an industrial ability. And looking through these pictures makes it even more... It makes me struggle even more with a larger setback. So where you're talking about a shorter setback for a possible industrial project to come into the community, I really struggle with getting too restrictive. So,
industrial park Beatrice permit setbacks, I think, are 10 feet property line.
But again, this putting this in, you're still putting the buffers in, which is going to give you that setback.
And I wouldn't recommend getting rid of the buffers just because that seems to be a good softening effect.
I think so too.
On this amendment, is there any other comment? Ms. Haxby. I'm sorry.
Roger, can we take anything from the floor in our discussion on solar?
Again.
If Norris was going to put in 10 acre, that's 60 acres, to do 3% total consumption.
You're not going to need that much.
No.
Try to tell them 40 acres is going to be enough.
Yeah.
That's why the check.
I don't think there's any move to be restricted.
Oh. Recommend we vote on approved.
I will call you, though. Any other discussion on this item, Ms. Axby?
I'd like to move to amend a cap of 160 acres as part of this exemption.
80 acres?
160.
160, quarter section.
They're not going to need near that much.
160 is a quarter.
Eddie?
I thought you said half of 160. Norris is going to put in 6 10-acre.
That doesn't.
That's 60 acres.
Yeah, that doesn't.
To do a 3% of their total consumption. Why do you need so much?
I could go 80, but I thought I was being fair at 160.
I'd still be nervous in case somebody needed more.
Well.
So just as when we looked at the regulations and went through our per megawatt, we use a derivative of 1 megawatt takes 10 acres, basically, when you get your buffers in. So kind of use that. You know, obviously, if you have 2 megawatts, you won't need but one buffer, you know, around the outside. But so that would, that 160 acres would only be enough ground for 16 megawatts, correct? So if you were using the derivative of 10. And so then you're limiting your industry's needs to only 16 megawatts. So
then instead of one, we might have 20 of those.
I don't know, this is only for the exemption.
I mean, there might be a whole bunch of little solar plots all over them.
Does anybody know how many megawatts, like one of the industries out here in the industrial park uses total? Because, I mean, we're potentially could have an industry that wants to be 100% solar or clean energy. So if they need 50 megawatts, they need 500 acres.
Right, that is correct. Yep.
Oh, okay.
I would be nervous on area again. I would think consumption is going to be a regulator of how much they put in. That's my opinion. Not saying it's right or wrong, but I would say consumption is going to dictate what they need. We have a motion by Haxby to cap at 160 acres.
Just for the exemption.
And that's all we're talking about right now is only the
exemption.
They can
do more, but then they would meet the rest of the requirements.
So it's.
Do we have a second?
A cap at 160 acres.
160 acre
for
cap.
For the exemption?
For the exemption. Well, I don't know. Maybe they're not.
Before we carry on with any more conversation about this amendment or the initial amendment, can we take a 5-minute recess?
Yeah. We will recess with the two items on the floor at 10:46 for, you said, 5 minutes?
Yeah, that should be long enough.
5-minute recess. Okay.
Use the mutual.
Let's try her again.
Well, that's good.
We'll reconvene at 10:56 on the clock. We have a motion on the floor by Lytle, second by Dorn. Any questions on the motion on the floor?
What was it again?
Or comment. The motion is solar. So just reading through it, solar structures / facilities that will be part of an industrial special use permit will be governed by the setback limits of that permit if they will be producing electricity for self-consumption and not selling it onto the grid. Other solar regulations, such as buffers, will still apply. So this would only affect the setbacks.
I had a motion for capping at 160.
Yeah,
she amended that to 160.
We have a motion on the floor by Haxby for a cap of 160 acres. I'm sorry, I got confused. We do not have a second for that item. Motion by Haxby to add.
The exemption will be capped at 160 acres.
Do we have a second? I've stated my fear on that would just be if they need more.
Do you want it 165?
Do we have a second? Seeing no second, I'll go back to the initial amendment that I read. Does anyone have any question on the amendment or comment? Mr. Lytle. Looks like you were thinking of it.
Well, the reason I asked for the recess was I wanted to see if I could get some quick info as far as measuring megawatt and, you know, what a facility would use and how you would find a good number that would be, you know, you could put on top of something like this to still make it do what we want, but be restrictive to limit that space, you know, so it wasn't unnecessary space used. There's just no good answer to that. I mean,
just varies too much.
Well, yeah, because of what industry comes in. I mean, if you've got a mining company comes in that has X amount of computers that are mining Bitcoin or whatever, you're going to have a lot more electrical use than you are of, you know, a storage facility. So, I mean, it's hard to get an answer to that. Right off the, you know, on a 5-minute conversation.
Any additional comment or question on the amendment?
I guess mine would be the same thing. If we are having questions on how this is going to work, I mean, put it on their roof, build a parking lot with shade, and put it on the shade of the parking lot. I mean, come up with better ways. Don't spread it out. If you're exempting a setback for industry, then keep it with the industry. That's it.
Anything else on the first of many items on the solar regulations?
This is going to take a while.
If not,
it is.
Please vote. 5 in favor, with Haxby and Schuler voting no. Amendment 1 passes.
That's not an amendment.
Oops,
that was a motion.
That's a motion for an amendment to the regs. So,
right.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's just a motion.
So we'll just add that into the regs. I'm going to throw this out to everybody else now. Anything?
Got another one?
Anything in these regulations? Anything you guys want to address in the regulations?
Where does this fit in?
I'm going to have to find that yet. It'll be an asterisk on the back page with this.
Yeah.
This chart, but it'll fit into the regs somewhere.
Classification.
It probably fit under your chart because your amendment also added that chart.
Added the chart to it.
There's just an asterisk under the chart.
But I would say you can start back at 6.8 or anything through the regulations that you guys would like to change, setbacks, classes.
I have a question.
Ms. Haxby.
On class 2, 3, and 4, on it says from churches, public schools, and Rockford Lake State Park, NRD Big Indian, NRD Wildcat, and Homestead National Park, they're all specified, but yet in our other regs we just said all federal, state, or local parks, which includes designated state and local recreation areas and wildlife management areas. Why are we singling out specific parks? Why can't we keep the verbiage that makes them all included? And then in those locations, for all of those, adding the words "and shall not be visible from any place on those properties." That way we're covering all parks, including the homestead, making sure that they're not visible to those parks.
Which page are you on, Ms. Hexby?
There's multiple because it's written in class 2, 3, and 4. That way we don't have to worry so much about the setback, or just a visual to be closer if there's.
Class 2.
So instead of specifying each part or the specific NRDs, just keep it a broad statement as we did before, saying instead of, so it would read from churches, public schools, and all federal, state, or local parks, which includes designated state and local recreation areas and wildlife management areas, and then read the setback, and then added from after the property line, and shall not be visible from any place on those properties.
Do you want it, the setback and shall not be visible, or just shall not be visible, or?
I mean, the quarter mile isn't going to hold too much up, so I'd just leave it as quarter mile and shall not be visible.
Class
two, three, and four all say the same thing. So change them all one shot.
So
and they're,
line that says from churches, public school, Rockford Lake.
Yes.
That's the.
Yeah, instead of specifying each one, we say churches, public schools, and all federal, state, or local parks, which includes designated state and local recreation areas and wildlife management areas. Then it continues to read the CWEX or CSECS shall maintain a minimum setback of quarter mile from property line and I'm going to say add, and shall not be visible from any place on those properties. And that would take care of the concern for the homestead.
So that would make it less restrictive on the homestead potentially for class three and four, but still make it non-visible from property line.
Yep, from anywhere on the property.
We do have a letter from the homestead talking to the board. They support renewable energy. Request the Board of Supervisors require view shed study. But this would take care of that, not visible from the park.
What did you say for a distance, Emily?
I would leave it the way it is.
Quarter mile and not visible.
Yes.
Well,
So your amendment would be change the language to just the same as what wind was.
Yep.
And add on the end of that line on each of the classes,
two, three, and four.
And shall not be visible from
any place on those properties.
And I assume when you say visible, it's like from a 6 foot high vantage point, something like that.
I'll second that.
Okay, so this would be in three locations in the regs, plus on the chart. We would also update that behind, because on the back it says, I assume you're talking about churches, schools, NRDs, and homestead. It would be, that would be the specific line?
Yes.
On the chart. The motion by Haxby, second by Dorn. Any additional discussion on these, Mr. Lytle?
Can you read the...
Will you read that once more, Ms. Haxby?
From churches, public schools, and all federal, state, or local parks, which includes designated state and local recreation areas and wildlife management areas. The two dot things. CSECS shall maintain a minimum setback of 1,320 feet quarter mile from property line and shall not be visible from any place on those properties.
You're saying class 2, 3, and 4, and then there's different setbacks, Emily, for...
Yeah, so it would the setbacks would stay the same on each. It'd just be adding that language. Okay. I don't want to have to do this on every class 2, 3, and 4, so just generically let's...
So the quarter mile on 2 would stay, the half mile on 3 would stay, and the three-quarter mile on 4 would stay.
Right.
A homestead, we have a different... Is it in the regulation?
We don't.
To have a distance for a setback? Or is it a view shed study?
No, it's not view shed, I know. But this would require a view shed. And Lisa said that they'll do a view shed anyway. Mr. Lytle.
Okay, I struggle with some of this just because, and hear me out on this. Okay, we more or less legislated wind energy out of Gage County, which, whatever. Okay, I'm not a big fan of windmills and whatever else. So personally, I get that. But you know, when it comes to green energy, we have to be open to the idea that moving into the future, that there has to be some green energy sources, whether you like it or not. I'm not an overly big fan of green energy, because I don't think that it's, anyway, personally, that I'm not a big fan. But I think we have to be open to the idea, and I don't want to see us legislate solar energy out of this county the same way we did wind energy. And I think that when you look at doing some of this stuff, that is exactly what we're looking at doing. When you start talking about churches, schools, state and federal properties, and everything else, I agree. Betty's in the back of the room here, and I agree with Betty, and I agree with preserving the Homestead National Park because of what it is and how it's structured. So I agree with that. But when you start talking about all of this classification, if you lay a map out and you put spots where every church, school, NRD, state property, whatever else, if you do that and then you do a radius around it, there's not a lot of property left for doing solar energy. So you're getting dangerously close to legislating it out of the county. So I like the idea of protecting people from the visual of it, but I don't think that we want to go to the step of legislating this out of the county, and I think we need to look at that really strongly.
I agree with Gary. I think we need to look at what we minimally, I could say the word, need to do to follow our goals for planning and zoning and not rule it out of the county entirely. And that's my same thing, same way, whether it's an industry, solar is an industry in itself, and it benefits economic development of Gage County.
Any comment or question on this, Mr. Swavely?
Yeah, I've got to agree with Gary. You know, we're getting too restrictive in some of the things. We're going to have green energy. We talked about that earlier, and it doesn't matter what you do. It's coming. We're going to have to accept it. It's probably not going to be as big as what people want it to be, because there's a lot of things that the government, the federal government, hasn't figured out yet how they're going to take care of, you know, being able to stop along an interstate and charge your car in 5 minutes. Okay, that's not going to work. Okay, plus the fact that, you know, we need some extra support with the electrical grid, and if somebody wants to put something up, you know, we shouldn't restrict them with a half a mile or three quarters of a mile buffer zone because of you don't have, this isn't sticking up in the air 500 feet like a wind generator, okay, or power source there. This is,
that'll be next. They'll make a tower and have a whole bunch of panels on,
you know,
it.
And then you know, we. These are very, you see the pictures, they're not, you know, they're not restrictive. You who's going to bother and complain about that when they drive by it on the highway? It's not like Terry's got in his backyard, okay?
My only fear would be with it saying parks, what if people build parks out in the middle of nowhere just to restrict areas? Put up a couple teeter-totters and merry-go-round.
But it is. I mean, we have to. I think a lot of the, I don't say all of them, but a lot of the setbacks we put in here are a little bit restrictive for most uses. Okay, so.
And I think our zoning needs to cover the entire county. If not, if it doesn't fit the entire county, perhaps we need to separate our zoning areas.
We have a motion by Haxby, second by Dorn, to change the verbiage to match the wind language. We will leave the setbacks the same for each of 2, 3, and 4, and add the language, and shall not be visible any place on those properties. Is that correct, Ms. Haxby?
Yeah.
Any other discussion? Mr. Lytle.
So in the end, what we're saying here is no matter what we change the setbacks to be as we move forward, we're creating a visual protection is what we're doing. Is what you're wanting to do. You're creating a visual protection no matter whether the setback is 50 feet or, because we can go back and change this this setback or this classification to be 100 feet or a mile, whatever we want to do. You're creating the visual safety of it. Would you be willing to set that up so that it's, you got the homestead separate from the rest of them?
Or, like, which part? You're saying the visual,
the visual protection. Yeah, and this is why I ask you this, Emily. Why do we need the visual setback from, or you know, why do we need the visual protection for a school or a church or whatever else?
Or Big Indian.
Yeah. Or what? You know what? Why do we need that?
For, I mean, school and church, I could see the local recreation, wildlife management areas, if you wanted to remove that part, but saying all federal, state, or local parks, it's a tourist recreational industry for our county. You go there for the visualization of that.
Is there a safety concern?
It's more aesthetic concern, I assume. You know, just the visual of it. I assume that's what you're saying.
Right.
It's just so you, when you're, say, a Big Indian canoe and you don't want to look over and see solar panels. I mean, that would be I assume that's the intent here. And I'll say, as we talked about wind turbines, there were people that their reason for not liking wind turbines was they don't like them.
Period.
That's a reason. I mean, that's a just as big a reason as somebody that likes ice in their Coke likes Coke with ice. I mean, that's the way they feel. That's the reason. It doesn't always have to be a scientific reason.
As a county board, can we consider our emotions and our personal dislikes to vote something out of the county?
No.
Is that...
You can't do that, okay?
That's,
if it's a rule, it's a rule, and that's, you know...
That's my point.
I have my opinion, but if it meets the specifications, I can't vote against it, okay? I'd like to,
right.
But that's not the right way to do it, okay?
I agree.
We've been put here to make sure we abide by the rules and regulations, and that's what we have to do, regardless of what I think about it or what you think about it or what anybody thinks about it. That's...
But I'll also say if all of our constituents feel this way or that way, I mean, sometimes feeling is what the rule is, too.
I don't know if we know what all constituents feel.
Most of you sitting up here know what the majority of your constituents feel. That's why you're here.
But we don't always make decisions based on what the majority... We got to make decisions based on what's... And that's why we're elected, is to make rational... decisions, regardless of emotions, that's best for the future of our county.
Any comment on this specific item, changing the language and the adding the "and shall be visible any place on the properties," with the change in the language to match the wind? If not, we have a motion by Haxby, second by Dorn. Last chance for comment. Please vote. Five opposed with two in favor, Haxby and Dorn voting for, Juergens, Schuler, Thiemann, Swavely, Lytle voting nay. Amendment fails.
So was it the language in the beginning or the language at the end?
As far as...
If we just added the line, "and shall not be visible from any place on those properties."
You want to take the homestead out?
Well, where it just says, what it says before, it says churches, schools, Rockford, Lake State Park, NRD Big Indian, NRD Wildcat Lake, and Homestead. They list those out specifically. Do we just leave that and then say, and shall not be?
For me, and the way I look at it, of what is listed, your effect that you have with the solar array that's set up here, the Homestead is the only one that has a legitimate reason not to visually be looking at it that I see.
I think I might have a different option for that later. Hold on.
I'd say there's some churches too.
I did find it. I did put something in there like they had for solar at the bottom.
It's like right west of Beatrice is one.
Any changes? I'll throw it out there again. Motion for changes.
So if we were looking for Homestead, it'd be later in the thing. It's after class 4, under application requirements for class 2, 3, and 4. It's at the bottom. It'd be
on solar,
way down there.
Page 17. 6.87.
But we'd be adding a letter above the escrow account line, which is where we had it for the wind thing. It'd be above the escrow. You'd say, applicant shall submit a viewshed study from the Homestead National Historical Park property to the CSECS. Study shall show that from any viewpoint of 5 feet, 5 inches above natural ground level anywhere on the Homestead National Park, cannot be seen.
So you're saying bump above letter N, an escrow account shall be set up.
Yep, put in that verbiage that was there, and that would take care of just strictly the Homestead.
Okay, I know you just read that. Will you read that one more time?
Applicant shall submit a viewshed study from the Homestead National Historical Park property to the CSECS. Study shall show that from any viewpoint of 5 feet, 5 inches above natural ground level anywhere on the Homestead National Historical Park that it cannot be seen.
And then get rid of any setbacks from the Homestead?
I just leave that the way it is. Just add the view shed for the park.
So I have a question. In the application process then, Emily, do you see that as a requirement, regardless of where that particular application comes in, that it's always going to require a view shed study?
Yes.
Or is it going to be within a certain mile perimeter? So if an application comes in, let's say it's 3 miles, you know, from the Homestead, instead of we have something down in the south part of Gage County, it certainly wouldn't be required for them to have a viewshed study for them in that case, would it? So just making sure that, you know.
Well, above here in the other, there's another letter. I was clearing that up as well because it says pre-construction noise and glare study shall be conducted. This is already in there. Shall be conducted to the property within 1 mile of the CSECS. Projections of any glare on a structure shall include extent, duration of the glare. The protocol methodology and modeling shall be included in the study. That is already there. The only thing that I was going to add is study shall include modeling in all 4 seasons, including typical and worst case scenarios. Because then, you know, the sun isn't stationary all year, so I want to make sure that we're getting the whole thing. But we already have in there that glare study shall be conducted. So I was just putting in there that all 4 seasons, and it's within a mile. So that would clear that up. But that's a different motion. This one is viewshed for Homestead.
Oh, I lost my motion.
Viewshed study.
They said that they'll do a viewshed study on every application anyway, though, realistically.
Yeah, they do. We have
just
the,
as part of their... I don't know. They said they'd It didn't make sense.
Wherever you're
wherever
doing
they're
array,
at, they're doing a
where they're
array
be located,
study.
They'll do a view set study.
When I asked the question of if you're specifically targeting the homestead mm-hmm. and it's 30 miles away, mm-hmm. they really technically don't need to do that.
So. I lost what our motion is.
No.
I'm sorry, Ms. Axby. I lost.
Above the escrow account part, we would add another line item.
Okay, above N. There we go. I have it again. I lost it temporarily. We have a motion by Haxby. Do we have a second to make that change to add the viewshed study language from the wind regulations, because it's the same as the wind
yep.
regulations? Add that above letter N on page 20 of the solar regulations. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I thought I second that.
You may have. Second by Dorn?
Well, I thought I did.
Okay, I'm sorry. I lost my page for a while. Motion by Haxby, second by Dorn. You should study language above letter N.
What page is that on?
It would be on page 20 in your regulations. Top of the page is N. It would add the language from the wind regulations to the solar regulations. It would become letter N.
For the viewshed study for the homestead.
Specific to the homestead.
Just the homestead.
Just specific to the homestead.
And that was 1 mile?
That is identified farther above that. There's a line item. Hold on, let me find it. Letter K right now, this distinguishes a mile.
Yeah.
So it would just be within a mile of the homestead, there would be a viewshed study specifically of that, unless we change item K.
The way I read it.
Okay.
Can you read that?
Item
what
K.
What we're wanting to add, can you read that to me, please?
Will you read your proposed letter N?
We need a projector, and I could just...
That'd be an awesome
someday
idea, wouldn't
we,
it?
We will have it. It'll come.
Amendments ahead of the meeting. It would be real helpful.
Applicant shall submit a viewshed study from the Homestead National Historical Park to the CSECS. Study shall show that from any viewpoint of 5 feet, 5 inches above natural ground level anywhere on the Homestead National Historical Park that it cannot be seen.
But then on K, it states that that's just within that 1 mile.
Within 1 mile, correct.
So I don't know, arguably, though, like you could, I mean, with the homestead kind of sits on a hill, do we want to limit that at a mile? I mean, if it,
yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Well, let's...
That's what I'm...
Let's miles first, a long ways, guys.
Let's first
there
vote
is,
on this amendment.
It is already at a mile. Above in letter
Bonnie.
K.
Let's vote on this item first. Any other discussion on this specific amendment? Adding that language, viewshed study, which by item K would be within a mile of the homestead currently. Any other discussion on that? Questions, comment? Please vote. 7 in favor.
2.
You're on a roll, Emily. Motion carries 7-0.
So, on
additional items.
Yes. On letter K, then, I just wanted to, I like how they have the 1 mile, but I would like to say that studies shall include modeling for all 4 seasons, including typical and worst case scenarios.
This is on page 19, item K. And where would you like to add that in item K?
It would be under, shall be included in this, okay, the protocol methodology and modeling shall be included in the study, period, and then we would insert studies shall include modeling for all 4 seasons and include typical and worst case scenarios.
I'll second that.
Motion by Haxby. Second by Dorn. Study shall be for all seasons and include worst case scenarios. Any discussion on this item, Mr. Lytle?
Worst case scenarios, man.
Yeah, Emily, can you explain what the reasoning is for this additional wordage?
Mainly it was for the all 4 seasons. I don't know how else to say it because the sun is in different places in every season.
As far as you're talking, you're worried about glare.
Glare, yeah.
Additional, Mr. Swavely, or was that Mr. Lyle?
He was.
Yeah, if you got something, good.
I guess I'm a little bit questioned a little bit about it because, you know, these solar panels just don't lay flat and look one way. They follow the sun. They have a system of drive shafts underneath them that just click. And then when the sun moves a little bit more, they click again, and they get all the way over here. And at night when it gets dark, they go back over so that tomorrow morning they can start catching the sun again. So I don't know how the reflective – it's going to be – it's different, okay? And I don't understand a little bit why they're not sitting here and looking at you one way all the time, okay? Mm-hmm. There shouldn't be much at all because it moves.
But in the summertime, your sun is higher. In the wintertime, your sun is lower.
Yeah, and
there might be a reflection on the lower.
Could be, but because you're going to move with it.
Yeah, yeah, but they're going to, I mean.
Doug, are we not important enough to stay?
So you got plenty of time to go get us lunch and bring it back.
Additional comment, Mr. Juergens.
Looking at the pictures that Lisa provided us, I mean, there's no more glare there than there is coming with a car going down the road.
Nope.
I don't like
that
cars.
That makes no sense to me.
Just kidding.
Truck.
All right.
There is one picture, if I could point out, I think, in that.
Do the third one back.
Oh, I don't know. There is a little glare on that top.
Right there.
Yeah, and so I was in my pickup taking the picture from my pickup, and that lasted like less than a second.
Did it travel down the row of panels, or did it just show?
It was only on that one panel, so that's why I figured
it was
something.
It was probably where she was at. It would show on another panel.
Something of a cloud cover or something, but yeah, that 1 second in my pickup.
I didn't know if it was just like that glare just travels as it moves, or how.
It did not travel. It was only on that one panel. So.
Motion by Haxby, second by Dorn to add the language all four seasons and worst case scenarios. Or did you have something?
No, I just, you know, they got the one up there by the interstate. If that was a concern, that'd be a really bad place to put it, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Mr. Lytle.
Go ahead.
Fine, go ahead, Don.
Well, as Mr. Hay stated, solar panels are designed to absorb light, not reflect it. I mean, yeah, you can get a little glare off it. Do we regulate anything else for glare? How about bodies of water? The NRD's building ponds for flood protection. Do we even consider glare off that body of water? What's the difference?
Any other comment on this motion? If not, it would add the language study for all four seasons and worst-case scenarios to item K.
That's scary.
Please vote. Another split. 4 in favor, 3 against, with Haxby, Shuler, Dorn, and Swavely voting yes. Juergens, Team, and Lytle voting no. Motion carries to add that language.
Whoa. I voted what?
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
You voted no.
No to.
To not add the language.
Oh, to not add the language.
To not add the language.
Yeah,
Shuler
okay.
Voted to add the language. Haxby. Dorn and Swavely.
I voted against the glare thing, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's all.
So motion carries 4-3 vote.
That's all right, Terry. I'm on the way.
Additional changes to the regulation.
So what we did, we have a view shed, which was approved first, that we would have a view shed study for homestead. Then the second one was to have a four seasons view shed study.
With worst case scenarios included, and that language is added.
Okay. So that was added for everywhere in the county, not just the homestead.
Mm-hmm. Anywhere right. Within a mile of any farm,
any solar
facility.
Yeah, any solar array is going to have to do a four season study from the location they're at for the mile.
Which. Around. Lisa said they would do anyway, more than likely.
No,
we'll just have access
seasons.
To it. Not a four season?
Not
okay,
four
so that changes that.
extends.
Not sure I voted the right way.
Process.
So that wasn't just for the one. That was for the
everything.
the whole county.
Within Correct. A mile. It's limited within a mile of that facility.
Any additional changes to the solar regulations? Changes, modifications? Ms. Haxby.
This is another one that was missed from one to the other. I don't know, not set on this. I just noticed a difference. I wanted to bring it up. Under applicant shall provide information regarding flora and fauna of proposed.
We're on page 19, item J.
There's 1, 2, 3. So then between J and K, there was one in there that says, provide any written technical assistance as well as minutes and reports from meetings and coordination with Nebraska Game and Parks Commission, Lower Big Blue NRD, and or Nemaha NRD to review the proposed CSECS site plan, including mitigation action to protect flora and fauna of the proposed project area. So that would be things like, you know, their grass plan or erosion issues or water issues or things like that, making sure that they're talking to our NRDs, Game and Parks, for these facilities. We had that in when just didn't get transferred into this one.
This is a question for Lisa, I guess. Lisa, are they required to put together a SWIP plan for these facilities or
that was our
erosion control? But I mean, are they required to by the state?
That was when we had our zoning hearing and doing the research, we understood yes. So I do not have a copy of that. That was a call to the state saying there would be a construction application that would go in.
My question would be, what do we gain then by adding that language versus what the state already requires?
Requiring that they talk to our local NRDs here.
So similar, Emily, to the airport authorities and so forth, just making sure that that entity is included in what's happening in the pre-application process,
yep.
Would you say?
Yep.
So we do that with the airport authority. So that's we did not put that in. We didn't add that, so, but... Certainly, I don't think would be a hardship by any means. I mean, it's a public entity. They're already included unless you change your classification rates, you know, letting the NRDs know prior to in the application process. So, but
this is just showing that they spoke with them.
Are you making a motion to add that language?
Sure, let's do that.
Okay. This is between J and K on page 19.
Is this in the wind?
Is this the same language as out of the wind?
Yep. Provide any written technical assistance as well as minutes and reports from meetings in coordination with Nebraska Game and Parks Commission, Lower Big Blue NRD, and or Nemaha NRD to review the proposed CSECS. That's changed.
Sure.
Site plan, including mitigation action to protect flora and fauna of the proposed project area.
Do we have a second? We have a motion by Haxby to add that language. Do we have a second? Motion by Haxby. Second by... Without a second, I would ask for any additional changes. Changes, modifications, concerns.
I have another one off of wind that didn't get pulled over. On section, still the last section, letter...
6.91C.
Yep. Right now it says provide a map illustrating all transmission lines connecting to the substation.
Hold on. Is this an additional one or this is what?
Right now it's written. It has one sentence right now.
All noise complaints?
No. Nope.
Just to make sure I'm in the right place.
Page 18.
Oh. Okay.
Page 18?
Yeah. Letter
C. provide a map illustrating all transmission lines connecting to the substation about halfway up on 18. Yeah.
So in our other ones, we specify the burial depth and at what we specify the burial depth for that and make sure that it meets code. There's a paragraph there. The reason I think that that is important is because when we did our broadband stuff, we wanted them to stay at 48 inches plus or minus 6 inches because that's like a dedicated level for that in that product. You have, you know, water at like a 5 foot and then electric at a 6 foot. The reason that you do that is so they never run on the same plane. And so that's why there is a 6 foot depth requirement for that.
48 inch.
We have 48 inch on our broadband.
I'm sorry, 6 foot for water or for power is what you're wanting.
Yeah, that's the way we had it for wind. That's the way when we were discussing how we wanted the broadband laid within our right of ways, that's why we specified 48, because that's the plane of which that product is kept at. I don't know how to say it, but that's the level, right? So we want to make sure that this is on a different level of.
So you would propose.
I would propose that letter C read as the wind did. So after substation, it says all electrical connection systems and lines from the CSECS to the electrical grid connection shall be located and maintained underground. Burial depth shall be at a depth that causes no known environmental land use or safety issues. Depths shall be a minimum of 6 feet below grade or deeper than the drain tile and be in compliance with NEC 2017 or new code standards. The Gage County Board of Supervisors may waive the burial requirements and allow above ground structure in limited circumstances, such as geography precludes or a demonstrated benefit to the county. The waiver shall not be granted solely on cost savings to the applicant. Request for variation shall consider aesthetics, future use of land, and effect on nearby landowners. This is almost identical to language that we have in our broadband contract for aerial on fiber as well.
We have a motion by Haxby. Do we have a second?
So the cable had to be 6 feet deep?
Yes. And the whole limitations, like allowing the above ground structure and based on solely on applicant cost savings benefit. I mean, that language is almost identical as what we did with our fiber Jewels. In the ground.
We have a motion by Haxby. Do we have a second? Motion by Haxby to add additional language to item C, page 18, on burial depth. Do we have a second? Seeing no second, that motion dies.
If I could just make a comment, in class 2 and 3, when we listened to the presentation with Norris Public Power, those, in their case of the 6, they would be going, connectability would be overhead, and that specifically states maintained underground, not saying that that's not contributing to the no factor by any means. Emily, I just wanted to bring that up, is that most likely the grid would be connected overhead instead of underground, because they'd be building close to a substation or a facility owned by that particular power company already. So,
that's your line.
How deep, like when Norris is burying lines, how deep do they normally go? Are they normally 6 feet anyway?
In some cases, not.
I think it's supposed to be by code at least 5.
I know we're putting in some line. It's not transmission line. It is going in at 30 inches.
We just approved 2 permits this morning for Windstream that are going to be 6 foot underground. So. And that's what I know. So, I mean, somebody's going to put an electric cable underneath there. We've got interference, okay? So,
yeah.
That's what it says on the permit anyway. So
deeper is generally better. It's just more expensive. But
it's, so you're going to have fiber at 4 feet and 6 feet. So
you're going to be crossing. I mean, every time there's crossings, there's a lot of underground utilities.
Oh, yeah.
Any additional changes, modifications, additions, subtractions, Ms. Haxby?
Under 6.88, discontinuation and decommissioning, letter A, second paragraph. This is something that Roger caught. We missed it on wind.
Wait a second. You mean 6.9?
6.88, isn't it?
I've got 6.9 as discontinuation and decommissioning.
Okay, whatever. That. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Letter A, second paragraph. It says upon transfer. One of the Roger,
page
you had 22. Caught it for
you
wind.
6.88.
6.9, page 22.
Section A,
third paragraph from the top. Just above B, the upon transfer. It's about the middle of the page.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ms. Haxby.
Instead of upon transfer, I would move to amend and scratch upon and write prior to.
The permit holder shall submit proof.
Is that in the first paragraph?
Second paragraph. Instead of upon,
second.
Strike it and say prior to.
Oh, upon. Can you change it to prior to?
We have a motion by Haxby to change the word upon to prior to. And
seconded that.
You did?
Yeah.
Second by Lytle. Any discussion on this? If not, please vote.
Lytle will
no.
No, I'm for it.
7 in favor, motion carries. You're back on a roll. That's just mean, Gary.
Now, you what? Got one on 6.96.
No, I just, Gary, put this over here by me again. No better. Looks like we're done. Any other changes?
Go ahead. I don't have a change. I just have a question.
We aren't doing those today.
Oh. Probably don't matter.
Go ahead, Mr. Schubert.
Probably don't matter. This is page 5. I don't know what page it's on in the new one. It says wetlands.
Give me 1 second, and we'll see if we can find it.
Got it marked.
Do you know what section it is, Mr.
Well, let me look in the... It was section B of Class 1 small solar.
It's not page 5.
I do not see it.
Where are you at?
Class B, small solar A...
General site and design application, standards. Application requirements for Class 1 small solar energy.
Be on page 6. What is it? And what letter?
It's weird.
I. Letter I on page 6.
Well, I'm trying to find it.
It's on page 6.
It'd be, it would be
I.
6.83.
So is that
highlighted BI? I'm sorry?
Is that all wetlands?
Within
creek is a wetland, linear wetlands, the river is a wetland. Or are we talking swamps and designated wetlands? I mean, there's many kinds of wetlands. You could, if somebody lives next to a creek and they want and wants to put up a solar... Are we going to keep them from doing that if they live next to the river?
As long as you're out of the floodplain, it doesn't matter on the river or a creek.
Well,
it
still says you got to be quarter mile from the wetland.
I don't think it says that. I think this says you have to name it. So if you're by the Blue River, am I reading that correctly?
Yeah,
you just
so
have to say
providing in the application
the
process, identifying in the map.
So it's just identify it.
Yeah.
That isn't a restriction.
No, not by any means.
If you're within that, then you have to identify it. Okay.
Yes, and we would again then divert to floodplain administrator, you know, to make sure. But this is only identifying in the application process, Don.
But not a restriction.
Okay, that clarifies it then for me.
Additions, subtractions, modifications?
Anyone? Are you ready to vote on this?
We're close.
I do have one clerical, too.
Ms. Axby did have one.
Yep, go for it.
Sorry, Lisa.
So, yeah, if just a clerical, I think I pointed it out on page 10, under 6.85, number one should be 10 acres, unless you get to your setbacks and you change any of that. But I didn't catch
the 10, the numbers are correct. The letters are wrong.
Yes, that is. That should be 10.
We're going to make that correction without voting on it, just as a administrative change. Thank you.
But I do want to.
Ms. Axby.
So when we talk to Norris, and other people that typically do this, there are lots of different types of panels, but typically people are using anti-glare or anti-reflective glass panels. So on there, if we're on class 2, 3, and 4, adding line that says all CSECS shall use either anti-glare or anti-reflective glass panels.
We have a motion by Ms. Axby. Where's my sheet?
It's a typical industry procedure. It would just be making sure that that's what they're using here.
Motion by Haxby to add language to class 2, 3, and 4, anti-glare.
It would be
or anti-reflective
panels, glass panels. It would be between panels. 4 and 5.
Between.
In each section.
4 and 5. In each section. We have a motion by Haxby. Do we have a second?
Yeah, I'll second it because Industry Day is doing it that way anyway, so.
Second by Swavely. Discussion on this.
Mr. Lyle. The industry's doing it anyway, so we really need this verbiage in the rules. Are we cluttering it up? We don't need to.
There are still panels out there that don't use that technology, so we can. It's just like saying that we want them neutral in color and not hot pink. Do we need to have it in there? You know, it's one of those just clarifying. Let's put it in there and make sure we're using that technology.
I don't know. Are there unintended consequences here that we're not aware of? I mean, I just don't see. If there's a need for it, where most of the industry is already doing it, I got to assume the newer panels are that, and they're going to be going, you know, like
on all
don't.
Three.
Okay. I don't know.
Lisa, was there a discussion by the P&Z about anti-glare panels?
We did have it. There was no, the question, as I recall, I could go back to my notes, but the question by Dennis Rosine was asked is, if it is anti, that means it is collecting as much power as it possibly could, because if it was, you know, it had any reflection whatsoever, it would be non-efficient.
Right.
So it's not really considered to be an issue. Not saying that there's, you know, not some things out there that, you know, it brings up conversation, but the commission didn't move forward. They just left it. So because industry standard is.
Additional questions, comment on anti-reflective or anti-glare panels? Seeing none, I would ask you to vote. 4-3, motion carries with Haxby, Dorn, Swavely, and Lytle voting yes. Juergens, Schuler, Thiemann voting no. Additional items. Mr. Lytle, did you have one?
I have discussion.
We'll do that today.
Yeah.
Juergens loves discussion.
Well, as I stated before, I I see protecting the homestead and their property and their view and what they are out there. I do think that needs to be split off of the churches, schools, and NRDs and whatever else you want to put in that classification. As far as the homestead goes, I have no issue with a 3/4 mile setback for a class 4, the half mile for the class 3, and the 1/4 mile for the class 2. So I'd like us to look at, and we can come up with a motion, but I'd like discussion on it first. I'd like us to split that homestead off and then put those others all in one category and have 1/4 mile setback for all categories for the other ones. I'd like to hear discussion on that before I make a motion.
So the homestead would still have a viewshed study within a mile?
Yeah, yep. That doesn't change that, which you're going to do anywhere on all the properties now.
And then there would be a 1/4 mile setback from churches, schools, and NRDs?
Correct.
Would you like to make a motion to change the setback for churches? We're looking basically at this, but it will apply to each of them. Would you like to make a motion to change the setback for churches, schools, and NRDs to...
Do we want to have any discussion on that first, or do you want me to go ahead and make a motion?
We could have a motion and see if we have a second, and then...
All right.
And if there's not a second, we'll move on. If there is, we'll discuss it and then vote.
All right, my first motion is to split the homestead off and make a category solely for the homestead. Under each of the categories, I'm looking at the chart on the back, but you know what I mean. Under each of the categories, we're going to split the homestead off and have their own setback that matches what is on the chart, which is for class 1, small is 10 foot from the side, 15 foot from rear from property line. Class 2 is 1,320 feet or 1/4 mile from property line. Class 3 commercial would be 2,640 feet or 1/2 mile from property line. And class 4 would be 3,960 feet or 3/4 mile from property line. And that's for the homestead solely.
Do you want to include switching the others to 1/4 mile?
That's separate.
Okay. We have a motion by Weidel to break the homestead out separately and to keep it as listed on the back of the sheet with the existing property or the existing setbacks.
Any second.
Second by Juergens. Any discussion on this? This would basically take the recommendation for the homestead from the P&Z, and we also have added a viewshed study to the P&Z. To the homestead within a mile.
I think that singling out the homestead, we've already done that in the viewshed study. I think the other parks are just as important to our tourism industry, are the place for people to go. I don't think that we need to single them out.
The other token is that we're limiting property rights to more people by going beyond that.
I'll answer that. And so the what the homestead is about, and you know, I think you can make argument as to having one of these closer to the homestead where you can see it, you would be a good educational opportunity to say that, you know, hey, here's the future, here's the past. But what the homestead is set up and what the homestead is trying to give you a picture of is how it was when Daniel Freeman came and settled, and they've got the tall grass prairie as the letter has spoke. And if you guys want to talk to Betty and want to hear her thoughts too, she can go farther than what I will. But what the homestead is about is showing you what the prairie was. And I can understand not having this stuff in view of that, where you're trying to show that view of what Daniel Freeman saw when he came here. All these other entities, you can't make that argument. The homestead is a separate entity, completely different mission than what all these others are. And that's why, to me, that's why you separate it away. And it has a separate column all its own on that topic.
Good point.
Ms. Haxby.
Could we do something where we separate it in class 2 and 3 and leave them all together in 4?
Do what in 4?
Leave them together in 4. What? Hold on. Back to this motion. Right now it is only a motion to take the homestead and make its own category and leave the setbacks as listed.
I think we vote on this and
I think
stays
yeah, I'm sorry.
Zone.
Otherwise we'll get off. I just try to steer us back to the existing motion. But I have a feeling we'll have another motion after this. Or an amendment. Motion is break the homestead off separately, make it by the existing written setbacks as listed by the PNC. Comment, question, addition? Going once. Please vote. 7 in favor. I'm sorry, 6 in favor with Haxby voting nay. Motion carries. Mr. Lytle, do you want to continue with this?
I do. For the others left in that category, all the other items, Don, you've got them, right?
Churches,
schools, NRDs,
yeah, I've got those
state recreation
here.
Areas.
Okay, well, now we
added
stuff
to those
separately.
No, it was listed.
Churches.
That's what she was talking about earlier.
Did that pass?
It didn't pass.
Okay, all right.
Don't confuse me anymore.
They listed out specifically.
We.
Okay, so churches, schools, NRDs. For the 4 categories, you're going to leave 1 and 2 the same. Class 3 commercial is going to read the same as Class 2 commercial, 1,320 feet or a quarter mile from property line.
Okay, so say that again. Class 3.
Class 3 is going to be the same as Class 2, 1,320 feet or a quarter mile from property line.
Okay.
Class 4 commercial. Class 4 commercial, I think we dropped to 2,640 feet or a half mile from the property line.
Same as 3 is now?
It is what 3 currently is, yes.
So 2, 3 would be a quarter mile. Class 4 would be a half mile. We have a motion by Lytle. Churches, schools, NRDs. Setbacks would stay the same for 1 and 2. Class 3 would change to a quarter mile. Class 4 would change to a half mile. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Juergens. Discussion.
I think class 4 ought to be a mile.
You think it should be further?
I'd like to leave the class 4 as 3/4. If we're going to separate them out, you can put a quarter for class 1 and 2 or 2 and 3. But leave 3/4 on class 4.
But you're concerned about a set of solar panels next to Wolf Wildcat? I mean, that's what we're talking about. I mean, you're going to go down there and fish on.
They want the road blacktop.
I'm well, more churches
it
and schools.
Blacktop there, isn't it?
Well, there it is, but not to get there.
I'd be more on the churches and schools part of that. If we're going to separate it out, then we can pull that apart even farther, put churches and schools, leave that at 3/4 mile.
We have a motion and a second to make these additional changes. Is there additional discussion on the motion on the floor? Ms. Haxby?
I don't know how to
She's
do it.
She's wanting to make an amendment. Is that what I'm? That's what I'm hearing.
That's why I didn't know if you wanted to vote on this or make an amendment to this.
No, I'd like to amend it. I'd like to leave the churches and schools the way they are in all classes. So I don't know, do we have to pull it out and create a new class for churches and schools, or do we put the churches and schools back with the homestead and pull out the other ones?
You could make an amendment to the motion to leave churches and schools the same, and it would basically just change the NRDs then.
Yep.
Is that the motion you would like to make?
We already have a motion, right?
The amendment to the motion?
I would amend it.
So we have an amendment to the motion, amendment by Haxby, to leave churches and schools the same as what is listed as provided by P&Z.
Yes.
Be the same as Homestead.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, same as Homestead. And so this would only change the NRDs then?
Yep, NRDs would be Gary's Street.
Okay, we have a motion by Haxby. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Dorn. Any discussion on this? This amendment would make a change only to the NRDs. Schools and churches would stay the same. Mr. Juergens. Any discussion on this?
So are we voting on the amendment to keep the churches and schools?
Churches, schools would stay the same. The only thing that would remain in the initial motion would be the NRDs changing.
Right, but you're voting on the
amendment.
The churches and schools right
correct.
Now.
Haxby amendment to Gary's motion.
Right, Haxby.
Mr. Lytle.
So just to be up front, if this amendment passes, I will vote against my motion and then bring another motion.
Okay.
Has it been seconded?
Yes, we have a motion by Haxby, seconded by Dorn, to leave the schools and the churches the same and change the NRDs. Any more discussion? Please vote. 3 in favor, 4 opposed, with Haxby, Thiemann, and Dorn voting yes. Juergens, Schuler, Swavely, and Lytle voting no. Motion fails. Amendment fails. So back to the initial motion. Change the setbacks of churches, schools, and NRDs to quarter mile. No change on class 1. Class 2 is quarter mile. Class 3 would change to a quarter mile. Class 4 would change to a half mile. We have a motion by Lytle, second by Juergens. Additional discussion on this item.
I think that's too close to churches and schools, but.
Well, you first discussed class 4 as 3/4 mile, and then you said something completely different.
No, I was saying, like, if you want to change the other NRDs, that's fine, but why are we changing schools and churches?
Mr. Schuler.
That's.
If we're doing a four seasons study, how does that affect setback distance? I mean, they come back with the results of the view study, then what? Is there a view study?
That's only on the Homestead, correct?
Oh, we're talking, no.
We've got a view
study, four seasons view study on everything.
You're right.
So what could prevent from a solar system going in based on a view shed study? The reflection? Just seeing it at all? Because I don't know where what the view shed study results
for the Homestead
does for us.
For the Homestead, it's seeing it at all.
Okay.
If I understand it correctly with the view shed study.
Well, that's what I thought too. But is it? But we also approved a four seasons view shed study for everything, the whole county. So what does that do?
I'm going to steer us back to the motion on the floor. Which would take, this is only for setbacks, not for view shed, quarter mile, half mile, quarter mile.
The reason I bring it up is because I think it affects the setback. But go ahead.
Ms. Axby.
I have a question for Gary. Gary, is the goal for this motion to lessen the setbacks for all our other parks other than Homestead? We're separating Homestead from the other parks, correct?
I just don't see the reason to have a 3/4 mile or, you know, to get that extensive with your setbacks for these projects, whether it's a school, church, park, whatever. You know, as far as what I was saying to you was that you were talking about class 4 being 3/4 for everything. When you're talking about thousands of acres of possible solar array, That was what I struggled with on my motion was it stay at 3/4 mile on class 4 or does it go to half mile? Class 3 and down below, I just don't see the reason to be set back more than a quarter mile.
Okay with that. I'm talking more class 4, schools and churches.
Right.
When you're having class 4 is essentially could be a 3,000 acre facility. That's why I'm saying let's leave that at the three-quarter with...
But that wasn't the motion that you made.
That's what I was trying to accomplish, was leaving the schools and churches with the homestead on class four.
The homestead's different.
No. On class four only.
Yeah, on class four, but the homestead's different on class three. So it's not... The homestead and churches and schools can't go together. They're different. On class four, if you're discussing it, that's what I'm saying. If class four... I struggle with three quarters, half a mile. I think it should be a half mile, but I could be talked into three quarters of a mile. Is where I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
On class four, not only, on class three.
Yeah, I'm good with your class two, three. I'm saying class four.
But that wasn't the motion that was
made.
Wait
a minute. Okay, how do I have this right? Because you told me if I had to amend the motion to keep churches and schools the same as listed, parentheses homestead, the same as homestead. So we did not change anything with the homestead if you're keeping the churches and schools the same, right?
That was voted down.
Yeah, that was voted down. The homestead stays the same.
That was the motion, though.
The amendment that failed was making the change. So now we're back to the motion on the floor would be...
My first motion was the homestead is separate on the...
Right, and I have that.
The homestead would then separate then also schools, churches, and NRDs.
The motion on the floor right now is churches, schools, and NRDs. Class 1 will stay the same. Class 2 will stay the same. Class 3 will go from a half mile
to
a quarter mile. Class 4 will go down to a half a mile.
Okay, what I'm saying,
Gary's original motion.
Yeah, that's what we're right. on. The right. amendment
but,
failed.
Okay, but what the part I'm trying to get back to is that she said, you're saying your motion or what we had before was different, that we just voted down, and what she's saying now. If I'm understanding, because I had homestead never changed, and if she's saying keep it the same as what the homestead was, then it's listed as the same. That's what she intended.
All I'm saying is schools and churches, leave those. If you want to pull the other NRDs down.
We would need a...
Only class four. Leave the same for schools and churches.
But you can't say that they're the same as homestead because class three is different.
Okay, so can I rephrase then? I'll try to amend again because this is what I intended.
Okay.
On class four... I would like to amend that we leave the schools and churches at the current setback.
We have a motion by Haxby to leave schools and churches at three quarters of a mile on class four. This is amendment to the motion. The original motion would have schools and churches and NRDs. Schools, churches, just schools and churches, not NRDs.
Not NRDs.
Schools and churches. Would switch to, or would stay as three quarters of a mile instead of going to a half a mile on class four only. We have a motion by Haxby. Second by Juergens. Class four only.
Second.
Motion by Haxby. Second by Juergens. Any additional discussion?
So this is what makes this different than the other motion is that it's
schools and churches will maintain three-quarter mile setback on class four.
That's what I meant and for it wasn't, to be the whole time.
And it didn't state class four in the
class
previous
class four one. Stated a half a mile.
What's three going to be?
So it'll
be the same as what we said, the quarter mile.
Okay. Three would go from a half mile to a quarter mile on all of them. Four would still go to a half mile on NRDs, but schools and churches would go back to three-quarters of a mile. Actually, the amendment that we're going to vote on next is only for schools and churches, only class four. It would take it from a half mile to three quarters of a mile, which it currently is listed, but is proposed a half mile. A vote yes would increase the motion to three quarters of a mile on schools and churches. Any discussion?
In class four.
In class four only. Vote yes would move it to three quarters. Please vote. Six in favor with Schuler voting nay. Amendment passes.
Real quick, I guess it would be I think we'd have to make an amendment, but it'd be easier on our table if we would create a school and church section line separate. Now it's different than homestead and NRDs. So just to clear it up, could we create a separate setbacks class for schools and churches?
how we list it.
Yeah, how it's listed
doesn't really matter. This is just to make
it does because it's separated in the regs too.
So I would ask Lytle and Juergens, who have this initial motion and second. Do you care if we make another line on our chart that just breaks out what those are?
I don't see where that. I mean, it's just.
This is just a way to explain it.
I don't see that
as just
being
an clear
issue.
It up. So it's
if you're okay on the motion, then you're okay on the second to include a different line. So the motion now reads: setbacks on schools and churches will be as listed, other than class 3 will be a quarter mile, class 4 still 3/4 of a mile. NRDs will be 10 to 15 foot, 10 and 15 foot class 1, quarter mile class 2, quarter mile class 3, half mile class 4.
Correct.
Any additional discussion on that?
Okay, so I need to know. I'll have this. Churches and schools change.
Churches and schools. So
NRDs.
So let's just make it for churches and schools there. You'll go churches and schools will be same,
yeah.
Same, quarter mile.
And that's what I have
and
here.
And 3/4 of a mile for churches and schools.
Okay, yeah, that was this motion down here.
NRDs will be same, quarter mile, half mile.
So are we just changing this now to vote on NRDs instead of churches and schools up here?
Well, it's still in the initial motion, but...
Okay.
Don, churches and schools are still different. Because the three class 3 is a quarter mile instead of a half.
Right, so 1 and 2 is
quarter mile on 3, half mile on... 3/4 of a mile on 4.
Right.
NRDs will go same, quarter mile, half mile.
Any
discussion on this? This will... be a vote then. It'll take the NRDs down to a half mile and a quarter mile and a half mile on 3 and 4, basically.
So this just affects the NRD?
Schools as well because of the amendment. So schools will still be 3/4 on 4, but schools will be quarter mile on 3.
Oh, so we're just changing on a class.
Yeah, on schools.
On schools.
Any question on this motion? I'll say it one more time. Schools and churches on this motion, class 1 is the same, class 2 is the same, class 3 is a quarter mile, class 4 is a half mile. NRDs, class 1 is the same, class 2 is the same, class 3 is quarter mile, class 4 is half mile. Questions, comments? Please vote. 6 in favor. Schuler voting name, motion carries. Mr. Lytle.
All right, and I'll offer discussion before I make a motion on the next one also, because I know Terry wants more discussion today.
You guys, I really appreciate you staying, though. If we can get this through, it's just stuff we're not going to be doing at the next meeting.
On the platted subdivisions and the platted villages, concerning Class 3 commercial, is there really a legitimate reason for being at a half mile on those as opposed to a quarter mile? Okay, so as I bring this for discussion here, you know, when you're talking about class 3 commercial, you're talking about 1 to 2 megawatts, which is 10 to 20 acres max, correct? So as you're looking at these two subdivisions and villages, is a 10 or a 20 acre solar array really that big of an issue a quarter of a mile away as opposed to, I mean, what? Why half a mile? I guess I just don't see that there's a reason for that.
Well, probably the only, and it'll probably never happen, but the only reason would be for expansion. You know, that's the only thing I could think of, future expansion.
View shed. I mean, I would say that the biggest conversation that came out, the commission's really took a lot of time to work through subdivisions and villages with the sensitivity of the view shed, and that's why they really they probably worked on that the longest.
I will say in a village it's out of our control anyway, because within a mile, it's
right.
In the true. It's in the village's hands.
Holmesville and Ellis and those
Rockford,
are still
those yeah, those would I still think. Be I'm sorry, not zoned. I should have read the rest of it.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
Well, we're going to vote it up or down either way. So I'm going to make the motion, platted subdivisions and platted village not zoned for the Class 3 commercial. We look at going to the quarter mile instead of the half mile for the setbacks on those.
Motion by Lytle to change platted subdivisions and platted villages not zoned on Class 3 to quarter mile setback instead of a half mile. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Schuler. Any discussion?
Question clarifying. Class 3 only.
Class 3 only. And the reason I say that, Emily, to me, a 10-acre or 20-acre, you're not talking about a huge facility. And, you know, if that's a quarter mile or a half mile, what's the difference? I mean, honestly.
You're talking view shed.
My big thing would be villages, the subdivisions. I mean, he's already got that covered with our mile with jurisdiction for villages. So they can make that decision themselves. So I don't see a problem with that change.
The subdivisions, I guess, to me, is the bigger one because that's where you got a subdivision of people that are coming in and building houses and looking at expansion there. I guess that's the only question that I would have doing that, but I still don't see it as being a big issue.
It's basically 2 to 5 lots.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Any other discussion? If not, please vote. 6 in favor with Thiemann voting no. Motion carries.
Okay, so for towns, for class, that was class 3. I'm making changes, redlining while I'm doing this here. Class 3, we went to a quarter mile, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Class 3.
Any additional changes, corrections, additions, subtractions? Mr. Juergens.
I do have a question for Lisa.
Yes, sir.
Anything we did here today, you think wrong?
No, I do not. Okay. I mean, the obvious, the opinions don't all, you know, your opinions don't all match. Same way with the commission. I mean, some felt that it was too restrictive, others did not. That seems to be the consensus here. You know, there's always going to be sensitivity towards one or the other. It was creating that balance. So.
Yeah, one other thing to keep in mind, if the project comes along and really wants Gage County and we got a problem, they'll come before you, ask for a zoning amendment, it'll work its way up, and you guys will get to address it as well as P&Z. The public will have the input. And, you know, today you're struggling with the same thing P&Z does. Hypotheticals, what if?
Right.
Who knows? And you want to put some caps, but not too much. And I just, you know, that's the point I make. If the right one comes along and you really want to tweak it, you'll tweak it. If the other one comes along, you go, get out of here. That's why we have our rule. Just throw that out, because I think everybody's laboring with the same thing you just said, Lisa.
I do too. Yep.
You know, P&Z went through this, my God.
Additions, changes, anything else?
Hold. Give me.
Looks like there's no more
minute.
Opinions.
Just give me a minute. I'm trying to catch up on everything. Just hold on.
Darn daylight.
Do you want it correct here?
Juergens is looking at starting a plant for next year already.
I'll guarantee you there will be an amendment come up here in the next 3 months. Just,
that's
there,
okay.
There's been so many motions and stuff. I don't know how.
Hey, that's okay.
To keep track of everything.
Well, it remains to be seen if I did.
Well, I'm just
we'll
you
go over it piece by piece.
There.
And we have the recordings, too, so we can go back. And the intent is... Intent is what we're going to go with. If there's no other motions,
class 4.
Yes.
I'm asking a question because I'm clarifying it in the regs. Class 4 on the parks was a half mile.
Half mile. Okay. Wait, no, we don't have parks broken out. NRDs.
That's yes, NRD. Right. Okay. It says Rockford Lake State Park. NRD Big Indian, NRD Wildcat Lake was broke
and,
out
well,
from...
Rockford's not an NRD, so...
But you broke out the parks park. From the homestead.
So. Yes, that's half mile.
Yes.
Class 4.
Okay, and homestead stayed at
three quarters.
Quarters. I'm caught up.
Any additional changes, modifications, additions, deletions?
Can you give me a minute?
Whatever. I guess all I'll say, I think the setbacks are too far. Everybody knows that. That's my feeling on it. I told the Planning and Zoning Committee that. We have, and I would like to know what a Four Seasons View study will do, what that'll affect, what the answers to that, what do they provide us even?
Until we do one, we're not going to know.
Mr. Lytle?
You mean the Four Seasons View study that you voted for, Doc?
Yes.
Well, that's, why are you questioning it?
Well, that's why I'd like to. You vote, the regulations, the vote didn't proceed in the way it would change how I voted. If you cover the setbacks first and then work backwards off of that, then it would make a difference how I vote. We started with the amendments to setbacks when we hadn't come to a vote on the setbacks itself. I prefer shorter setbacks. So with short, if we'd have went with, which I doubt we would have, but if we'd have went with shorter setbacks, it would have changed my vote on the other things we did, or those votes wouldn't have been necessary.
Additions, changes?
Oh, that's...
I have a question.
Miss...
Give it.
Okay.
I have a question for Lisa.
Yes.
Lisa, I think at the end of, I don't remember, at the end of your stuff, there was something in there that the P&Z, I think, was going to do something about a seeding plan underneath.
Oh, yeah, we
was
added
that. Was that included? Where was
yes.
that included?
So in the screenings area, this is a for instance, it's under each category. I'll take number page 16.
Okay.
Number F, visual screening. Oh, wait. Hold on. Continually, it's number 5, four under E, must maintain the original standard of planting. Is that referencing how to keep up on the vegetation? So we said must maintain the original standard of planting. So depending upon what they did... Trees was the biggest thing, and vegetation.
What I was meaning, like, under the panels themselves, like, we're not growing up, you know.
Vegetation, the
ditch
weeds.
Ditch weeds.
Let's
you know,
see
are
here.
Are we...
We didn't state specifically pollinators to be planted or anything
so
like
the reason,
that.
The reason that I asked that is I looked up another one similar. They wrote that this is just a sample for so they're not growing a whole bunch of ditchweed or bare dirt, and they're not having a bunch of erosion issues. They said the applicant must present an acceptable weed control plan for the property inside and outside of the fenced area for the entire property. The plan must include no less than 10% native plants and use an RCS seeding plan. The site must be maintained to prevent fire hazards and be in compliance with Gage County weed regulations as well as state and federal environmental regulations.
Wouldn't it be better just to rock it and kill it?
No.
Take care of it.
No soil sterilant shall be permitted. No concrete or gravel type cover property is allowed. That was a sample that I found.
It seems like that'd be the easiest way to take care of it is rock it and sterilize it. Wouldn't grass be a fire hazard under those?
That would be, but...
What about sure weeds growing up 6 foot tall? They can't have that either.
No, they'll maintain that. They'll have to.
Got to maintain it.
You can't mow under those,
can
even,
you? You could just limit...
Can you imagine hitting one of those with a mower?
You could keep it minimal and just say the applicant must prevent and... present an acceptable weed control plan for property inside and outside the fenced area for the entire property. Plan must include 10% native plants and use NRCS seeding plan. Site must be maintained to prevent fire hazards and be in compliance with Gage County weed regulations, period. And just leave it at that. Just so they're not growing, you know.
Okay, so number page 19 under I, this is in the application process, the application number I,
Number 11, so they're having to give us the maintenance of erosion controls through the life of the project, must present an acceptable weed or vegetation plan at the time of permit.
Where is that at?
I'm referring to page 19. Letter I, that's in the application process.
Under 6.87.
Yep.
So that way with industry standards changing.
I didn't see that. That works. Yep.
That's okay.
We're good.
There's lots of things, but yeah.
Additional changes, questions, comments?
Almost done.
I got another comment here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad to see us lower the setback lengths, but we're still more restrictive than any county around us or even close to us.
Do you have a proposed setback change?
Yes, and I told you that at the last meeting. I would say
we'll get you a new cup.
500 foot from a residence, 200 foot from the property line, whichever is the furthest.
Is that
Cass County's 500 foot. Station? Well, I could make that motion.
500 foot from a residence.
200 foot from a property line.
200 foot from a property line.
And I don't know if you need to say whether it's...
Is that across the board on all sizes or... of?
We already... Across the board, except those... You know, we talked about churches, NRDs, subdivisions, those special ones, a homestead.
So 500-foot setback from any residence, 200-foot setback from any property line, maintain existing setbacks on churches, NRDs, schools, homestead?
Okay. Yes.
Maintain those.
So, Don, that would be on class 2, 3, and 4 then?
One through 4?
I would say so.
On
we've got the Four Seasons View study,
one
view shed study.
We have a motion by Schuler.
And we still got the mile. That's within that mile.
It's in there already.
Yeah. And the view shed study.
Oh, yeah, Schuler's
if
motion.
If it's negative to
500 foot from a residence, 200 from a property line.
Whatever it is they're talking about is negative.
Schools,
we have the opportunity to make that decision then, correct?
Mr. Lytle?
Class 1, you're becoming more restrictive.
Class? Oh, okay.
Do you want that to be 2 through 4?
It'd be for class 2 through
2
the commercial.
Through four. Okay.
I'm talking to commercial only.
We have a motion by Schuler, 500-foot setback
you,
from
Gary.
Any residence, 200-foot setback from any property line. We'll maintain the setbacks on churches, schools, NRDs, and homestead on classes 2 through 4. Otherwise, setbacks will go to the 500-foot and 200-foot length. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
And if I may make a comment.
I'll second it so that we can have discussion on it.
Second okay. By Lytle. Go ahead, Mr. Schuler.
I want to see Gage County be competitive for economic development. We spend a lot of money on economic development. This is what we want to improve our county and be progressive. I feel like with the setbacks we have, even though we've reduced them, continues to minimize what benefits we could get. The solar industry doesn't have to come to Gage County. They can go to the other counties around us.
I see you too.
They're not begging to come here necessarily.
Nobody's
so
begging.
We need to be, in my opinion, receptive and have zoning regulations that meet our standards for health and safety, but not be so restrictive to keep something out of the county entirely.
Additional comment on this proposed change to setbacks. Motion by Schuler, second by Lytle. 500 foot to a residence, 200 foot to a property line.
That would change this.
It would change everything.
And this 500 foot, that would change the 660 in class 4 to 500 foot. Is that what I'm looking at?
That would change the 2,640 feet.
Or non-participating dwelling, is that what you're...
It changed everything down to 500 foot to a residence and 200 feet to a property line. Other than for schools, churches, NRDs,
and
homestead. That would make it very slick to slide a solar array in.
I think... I think the way we have it written, it's all to a non-participant, so we're giving the choice to the community. I think we should leave it the way it is.
And that's a good point. If you're a participant, then it goes to no setback. Yep. It can be right up against their...
They'd have to. It's another restriction, though, for a solar company that could go to another county.
Correct.
That doesn't have that.
Correct.
So we don't have the corner on the market on bringing solar in and improving economic development. So that's just, to me, is an important part. I could be satisfied if we wanted to change zoning to the south part of the county and make it to what I just proposed. There's a difference between the north and the half, or south north and south half. Although it wouldn't, I use half as a metaphor. I'm not specifically. Could be different.
Additional comment on this motion. We have a motion and a second. Mr. Lytle.
I mean, by and large, I probably prescribe to what Don's thinking, but we have made some changes that have reduced the setbacks quite a bit already. This is the first stab at solar regs, and like Roger said, within the first 3 months, I'm sure there's going to be some amendments that are going to want to be wanted. I think where we're at is a good starting point. And maybe down the line we do look at making more changes that are less restrictive, but I think where we're at right now is a good point for start.
Additional questions or comments on the motion on the floor?
We can always change it as right, so.
Well, we can always change it the other way too,
sure.
Right?
We can make it bigger.
Well, maybe we should start out with less restrictions and change it as we see need fit. I mean, just being devil's advocate.
That's all right. That's what it's all about.
But because it still discourages people going to read, a company's going to read what our zoning regulations are, and it's going to show up we're negative towards it. So I said, well, heck with that. We'll go someplace else.
Additional comments, or are you guys ready?
And then we'll vote, or you can vote. I just think that we've done some good things today.
I agree.
It's not like when the wind generators were here where we just poo-pooed the whole damn thing, okay? I think we were giving people the opportunity now to use this and take advantage of it. And if they do come in and want to have a special thing, they can ask for an exemption, and we can sit here like we're doing today and say, yeah, we'll give it to you. And that's the only thing I think, okay, so.
I would ask you to please vote on the motion on the floor if there's no questions on it. Please vote. One in favor, six opposed. By a slim margin, that fails. Mr. Schuler voting yay.
Mr. Chairman, I do have one question on the viewshed study, if I could ask, please. So we're going back to my notes on I. The Four Seasons study was required within 1 mile of all classifications. I have in my notes it wasn't. Was it for just class 2, 3, and 4? Because on the individual class ones, that would be very hard to do if they're roofside and things like that. So I'm only assuming you meant 2, 3, and 4 in that motion and not class 1. But
that was on the
please verify.
Solar facility
that was right after the homestead of the 7-0 vote for yes.
On letter K, page 19.
I'm on the Four Seasons study.
Worst case scenario.
But they already have. I mean, that wasn't, we weren't changing. It's in applications 2, 3, and 4.
Okay, thank
yep.
you.
On right. 6.87 application requirements for 2, 3, and 4. On letter K, it only refers to 2, 3, and 4.
Okay, thanks, Emily.
Oh, sure enough, yep. Thank you, Emily. That I see that on the heading now, too. I did not see that before.
Let's get this off dead center and make a motion that we accept this, the changes we made today to the regulations, okay, with pass it with the amendments that were made today.
Second.
Motion by Swavely, second by Dorn, to pass the modified, today's modifications to the Gage County Planning and Zoning solar regulations.
And this is it. We're done, right?
As we've discussed and made changes today, May 31st. We have a motion by Swavely, second by Dorn. Go ahead, Ms. Saxby.
Same thing that we had with wind. We have, you know, some things that I would like to have seen, some things that we've got. I think we got a balance. The one thing that still makes me nervous is the very first thing we did, that restriction, giving an exemption with no limit of distance or size. You're exempting it. It could be anywhere in this county, and they've got an exemption for setbacks. So that's still a concern. I don't know how to fix it.
But I think a word in there can help solve the problem. That's industrial. That word was put in there. I mean, was talked about a lot. It said industrial. That makes a difference as to where it can be put.
You can't just put it anywhere in there. Industrial can be put on ag zoned, so that doesn't limit it. I mean, if we I would do that. If you want to zone it industrial, then that could be part of it. If we could put that kind of wording in there, that'd make me feel
better.
That would
be a special use permit.
Yeah.
And it would have to go through us anyway, Emily. Okay?
To
so let's not add any more stuff in there than what we got.
I'm just saying it's very open and it concerns me. I just want to make
that's
very
good.
Clear.
Okay. That's fine.
Some farmers might want to sell it too.
Yeah.
We have
let's not forget that.
We have a motion by Swavely, second by Dorn. Don. We have Dorn.
What?
I spelled Dorn wrong. We have a motion by Swavely, second by Dorn, to approve the amended. Solar regulations.
Clarifying question. Is this, we're voting, we're done. Like, this is it, this is done.
We're never done, but
we're done for, like, the next year or two?
Probably, unless something comes up.
Okay.
It'll be for this packet. This will go into our planning and zoning regs. This will become our new solar reg. With the amendments.
With the letter to PNC thanking them.
Yeah, actually, please pass our thanks on to them, because this was really well prepared for us already. Last chance. Please vote. 6 in favor. 7 in favor. Motion carries unanimously. There is a closed session we're going to have to... I'm just making that up. Mr. Lytle, thank you all for staying. Thank you, Mr. Juergens.
I do want to say, and I'll talk to him. I'll talk to the members of PNZ as I see him also. But I do want to say in open session, thank you that Lisa and the committee.
Yep.
That thank you for all the work. This was fairly easy to work through. I mean, it was pretty well laid out. A few minor changes, but I hope everybody understands, and it's not a. You know, there's been times before where we've completely changed something that came out of PZ. I think we were pretty in line with what we did, and I appreciate all the work they did.
Yep.
So thank you. Make sure they know.
I'll
talk to them, I'll say the same.
Yep.
So thank you.
Yep.
Thanks, Lisa.
May I make a comment? I just also want to say thank you to all of you and the planning and zoning, because I know how much work goes into this, and I know how difficult it is. And I do want to share with you that what Gage County is doing and the regulations Washington is looking at is how this county works to defend your national park. And that was shared with me by our energy coordinator in Washington. So I just want to say that.
Good.
Thank you. Anything else for the good of the order?
Want me to do something else?
I'd just like to give you a chance. If not, we're adjourned at 12:41.